theirs beats Battlestar Galactica.
Nerd! You merely adopted the dark. I was born in it.
Sounds like somebody's got a case of the Mundus.
Bazinga.
Two in the box.
Ready to go.
You be fast.
They be slow.
Cool.
Neri is not impressed by Mickey James.
No, she's hot. She's hot. I don't know what to tell you. All right, and we're recording. Thank you, honey. We are recording. Thank you for checking out the Mount Geekmore podcast, your favorite podcast where we do the where we talk, discuss, and come up with the Mount Rushmore, the top four of your favorite pop culture subjects. Today's episode is
with you as always is Jeff. Hello.
No, today's episode is blah blah blah, and
then this is why you're not the host. Yeah.
I do it the same every single episode.
This is only the 28th episode, yeah, but
please tell me how to do this now.
I want that Jaws game.
Anyway, so today's episode is the Mount Rushmore of the best movie reboots / remakes that we're just all saying it's going to be redos.
Right? Redos, yeah, we're just going to do redos.
I am Neri Science. With me is Jeff.
What up?
And we got Raul.
Arigato.
And Jason.
Hello.
So that's the panel for today. Before we get into the Mount Rushmore, let's go ahead and get into the geek news. Geek news.
So I figure I'm going to finish strong, so I'm going to start off with some...
yeah, you are.
Yeah.
Y ahora, imprimir impacto.
You sound very cocksure of yourself.
Oh, there it is. There it is. Well, considering when Neri was doing the introduction, he just spat out the word quadriplegic. Yeah. We were talking about Lex Luthor for the Luger, for those that weren't.
Lex Luger, I didn't know he was a paraplegic.
Yeah, I was reading it now. And I've been watching a lot of wrestling lately. I don't know why.
Because you're... a 34-year-old like
did
us,
they ever come out with these? But I know they said they were going
to
re-release.
Hold on, relax. Let's get to the geek news.
Geek news.
All right, we're already moving on. Hold on, before we get there, the movie on in the background today is Back to the Future Part 2. So, Raul was about to do, just spew some random question. The audience would have been like, "What the fuck are they talking about?" Yeah. It's Back to the Future.
Yeah, the today. Pepsi, which I have one waiting at Christy's friend's house that she got for me.
Oh, sweet.
Yeah. So, first bit of news, Michael J. Fox.
Segue.
Super segue, Neri. Thank you for that. Went up on stage during a Coldplay concert on Sunday at MetLife, and something cool actually happened at a Coldplay concert.
He was shaking a leg?
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Oh, yeah, I went there.
Jesus Christ.
Even Vanessa goes, wow.
He got up on stage with the Sunburst guitar and actually jammed out and played Johnny B. Goode with the band and was like, they have video online and he was shredding it. And I just thought that was really cool.
Well, yeah, he could shred it. He could still shred it.
Yeah.
In fact, he could probably shred it better now than before. You just can't stop shredding it.
Oh, my God. I was waiting for it. Oh, I saw the buildup. And I was like, fuck, he's going to take it.
Stop shredding it.
God damn it. Okay. So
don't get mad at me for that. Blame God.
Oh, my God. Oh, man. Oh, I missed
it. Where's the disgust from Vanessa on that one?
My wife was not listening on that one.
Okay, next bit. I just thought that was a cool thing to bring up. Reliable sources for Batman on Film claim that the new Ben Affleck film is going to take place entirely in Arkham Asylum.
Nice.
That's actually pretty cool.
Oh, Jesus.
Reportedly, the plot will involve...
Hey, look, it's Elijah Wood.
I just got a hard on.
Yeah.
Wow.
Not from Elijah Wood.
Perfect timing.
Not from Elijah Wood. From...
You got to use your hands. That's a baby's toy.
It is Elijah Wood. Jesus Christ.
Oh. Yeah, bro, I wasn't joking.
Go ahead.
Hey, look, it's Leslie Jones. He's not saying random names of people. All right. Reportedly, the plot will involve Batman actually being locked up in Arkham. It has not been officially confirmed. However, it would tie into the previous report that stated that most of Batman's rogue gallery is going to be in the movie. Like they said, there's going to probably be more. Not all, but almost all of the rogues gallery is going to be in the movie. They're going to do like a super Batman movie.
Because it can't be all, right? You're basically a Suicide Squad.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, they probably have Suicide Squad, you know, Riddler, probably in Arkham. I mean, it seems like it may
how
be.
How great would it be if they got
Two-Face?
No, if they got Jim Carrey. Because Jim Carrey did a great job. Yeah. I mean, he could still.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And now that he's legitimately crazy, it'd be even better. He could even, like, he could method on that bitch. Riddle me this. Vaccines do. Oh, God. Jesus Christ.
Go. Oh, God. Oh, no. Oh, God. I regret this. And Tommy Lee Jones could still pull off the Two-Face.
Yeah. But you can CGI his young face. And then now,
his old face,
and then not, the and regular the current face, and then
you save money on the special effects
there
makeup.
There you go,
perfect. But I think that's going to be awesome, especially if it has the same kind of feel as the games, because that's what that'll it seems like. Awesome. It's
yeah. Well, that's what the fight scene had that feel right. of. The yeah. fight scene had that feel definitely. Of the video. Like as I was watching, I remember the first time I watched a movie that I've watched now like probably 8 times. The first time I watched a movie, I was like the fight scene. I was like, oh, they literally just copy and pasted an Arkham game, which I was not complaining. I was like, oh, thank God. Oh, yeah, it's just awesome. A copy and paste. It's fantastic.
Hell yeah. It's the best part of that movie for sure.
He hasn't seen the ultimate version.
I haven't seen the real version. I refuse to call it the ultimate version. That's the real version.
Yeah.
When you leave out plot points, it very major
plot points.
Major plot points. That's now when you show me the plot points that you were missing, I'm like, no, that's the real version.
Yeah, and I mean that's the good segue because one of the things I was just gonna mention was the Ultimate Edition did come out on Blu-ray.
Is that Jason Lee Scott in the back?
Yes, Jason Scott Lee. Yeah.
Jason Scott, sorry.
Yes.
Why do you always do that? You always flip flop his names.
Well, it's Diego. Three why first do you names. It's
why do you keep doing that, Diego?
He's gonna be an assassin. You know, assassins always have three names.
Yeah. <They do. laughs>
So the Ultimate Edition,
which Neri and I have seen it, and David, but he's not here today, have seen it. And Neri, who was really, really, really enjoyed the theatrical version. What did you say that it is?
I enjoyed the theatrical version, and now I think it's an abortion of a movie. Now, after seeing the quote-unquote Ultimate Edition, which I, again, have been calling the real version, I now think that the theatrical... I was enraged, anger, as I'm watching the Ultimate Edition. I'm like, why would you leave that? Yeah. I watched it on a plane the first time, and I was yelling. I was like, why would you leave this? This is 3 seconds of very important information. Yeah.
How can you not show the bomb is filled with lead? Yeah. And everyone in the
plane. Yeah. No, don't worry about it.
In the plane. In the plane.
He likes his elements.
Right. In a plane. That was.
He enjoys the periodic table of elements. You talk about lead, you get his motor running.
Yeah. So now I'm, very upsetting.
But yeah, so that came out. I highly recommend it. I think Geekmore, at least half of us, would recommend seeing it.
I'm sure I'll recommend it once I see it.
People are going to accuse me of being biased. Again, I liked the theatrical version when I first saw it. Now I hate the theatrical version. I never thought it was a perfect movie. I always admitted that it had its flaws. I never said it didn't. But I was, you know, I'm one of those guys, like I said about Apocalypse, the X-Men movie. Mm-hmm. I was like, yeah, it has its plot holes, but I'm okay with it. It's not enough for me not to like the movie. I was okay with it.
Right, yeah.
And so with that said, I will tell you that the Ultimate Edition, to me, is, I would put it up there, honestly, trying to be as unbiased as possible, top 3 superhero movies of all time. I mean,
I think David also said that.
Yeah, David said it's definitely Mountain Worthy. You know?
I thought he said it was the best.
Yeah,
he said it's Mountain Worthy is what he said. Those were his words, is Mountain Worthy. Definitely Mountain Worthy.
But I would definitely say people check it out, especially if you invested in going to see it in the theater. This will definitely change your mind if you didn't think it was good or anything like that.
And if you didn't see it in the theater, now's your chance to see it.
The real version.
Yeah.
And if you consider yourself a nerd in general, I think you have to make the pilgrimage and you got to do these things.
The pilgrimage to your local Target? Is that a pilgrimage?
Or your iTunes or Amazon.
Or Amazon Prime.
Yeah, I mean.
Whichever one.
All right. So next bit of news. We've talked about this on a few previous episodes. The Universal Movie Monster Cinematic Universe that's being made.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Well, they just recently discussed a new movie that's going to be added to it, which is Van Helsing. Eric Hessier, who was one of the screenwriters for Nightmare on Elm Street, the remake, mm-hmm. and The Thing remake, mm-hmm. both great. And John Spatis, who wrote Prometheus and Doctor Strange, are co-writing the picture.
Okay.
Eric recently spoke with HitFlix and said that they're drawing inspiration for the character's behavior and mannerisms from Mad Max.
Okay.
I think that's going to be pretty cool.
That sounds cool.
Especially since Van Helsing's usually portrayed very like scholarly, even though I mean besides Hugh Jackman's role, but
yeah,
if you go Mad Max, it's not going to be as talkative and not as you know, you're going to be more man of action than
I didn't hate the original Van Helsing.
I didn't hate the Hugh Jackman one. Is that the original one?
Yeah, that's the one I'm thinking of. It wasn't bad to me.
Or was that a remake?
Keeping it topical.
Tie-in.
No, I mean, the Van Helsing one with Hugh Jackman, I didn't think it was a bad movie. I mean,
I thought it was a fun movie.
Yeah.
I thought there were going to be sequels, to be honest with you.
It was entertaining. It definitely left the door open for sequels. Yeah. So,
Or you mean the coffin?
Oh.
What? Taking your job,
look,
Jason.
I can't say the word and make the joke, so.
one interesting thing that he also said is, which it's going to be interesting how this plays out, is he said that all the writers of all the different movies in the universe, and they're not really kind of following what the other ones are doing. So in the sense of, they all kind of, he the way he put it was, they all went to their own corners and wrote their own movies.
Mm-hmm. So they're writing independently, is what you want to say.
There we go. Thank you.
Which is that what we want?
Well,
in the world,
yeah, I don't know.
In the world of shared universe, mm-hmm. that Marvel has now, apparently now everybody has to have a shared universe.
Yeah.
Even though the Universal Monsters was the original shared universe.
With Monster Squad.
Yeah, but is that what we want now? We want there to be a continuity? Yeah, like,
I don't know if it's necessarily the continuities. It's the tone of the film is what he's more referring to. Because he said that one of the movies may be a little more on the comedic side. One may be more of the atypical horror film. One may be more action. Like The Mummy, they're kind of hinting at it's probably going to be more action-adventure than a classic horror.
Well, it has
type.
Tom Cruise in it. Yeah. I don't expect that.
But then Invisible Man... You know, it's probably going to be a little more on the comedic side. It could be more a little more like they've done.
I think some things lend themselves. I mean, Invisible Man lends itself more to.
Did we talk?
You know which one wasn't bad? The Chevy Chase.
The Chevy Chase one was not
bad. That was a good movie,
and that's where I kind of
Memoirs of an Invisible Man.
Yeah,
like just give me soups.
but yeah, I mean, I obviously there's going to have to be continuity because I think their ultimate goal is to have them all end up being in a movie.
Well, did you hear who's going to... They're thinking about playing the actual Frankenstein monster.
Was it
Tommy the Rock.
Javier Bardem. Yeah, Javier Bardem. Actually, I like that.
Oh, okay. He's very Frankensteinish, anyways.
I think that's why.
He was in
No Country for Old Men.
Every movie he's ever been in.
or every movie.
His seventh grade play.
it was really weird.
I don't know how that's going to work out. Like, I think I'd rather have them at least like kind of have some sort of discussion with each other of what each person's writing and kind of build them in together.
I guess if you think about it, they kind of did the same thing in Marvel because Captain America had a little more serious tone than Iron Man.
Yeah.
You think he had a more serious tone?
Really?
Captain America?
Really?
That was super
the first
cheesy.
Avenger?
Yeah,
really?
That was super cheesy.
Really? With that uniform that he had on? That was like three sizes too big?
It was his... That's the American flag. That's his outfit. I'm just talking about...
Did it need to be three sizes too big?
No.
Did it need to be plastic?
And then you have like Thor Dark World's a dark movie.
What?
Serious movie. Versus like Ant-Man, which was a little more fun. Like, so it is it is possible to do it.
Oh, no, I'm not saying the tone. I'm totally okay with them changing the tone. I just thought that it would, you know, you kind of have to have some references to like other situations.
Yeah.
Not just other monsters, other situations that would be, like what Marvel does is that they briefly mention a situation.
Right.
Not just a character. And then later on in a different movie, they'll show you that situation.
Right.
And you go, oh, this was mind-blowing.
Now it makes so much sense. But, I mean, it'll be interesting to see what happens.
Definitely.
Babe, are you here?
And she went into the...
Oh, into the bedroom?
Yeah.
Well, you guys got to go. Oh, I'm sorry. Continue the thing. I got to put these guys away.
Next bit of news.
Yeah, put your balls away.
Telltale Games.
Go ahead.
That's great. All right, listeners, figure out who that was directed to. That's the game we're going to play since Jason's not eating anything.
Who's in my mouth?
Oh, God damn.
No!
Oh, no.
Por favor. Right.
So, Telltale Games dropped the trailer for their much-anticipated episodic Batman game this week.
Nice.
Have you guys played the Walking Dead games from the Telltale?
Yeah. They're great.
And A Wolf Among Us, the one Fairy Tale Land and stuff.
I haven't downloaded it. I haven't played it yet.
Oh, yeah.
They're phenomenal games. They're really they're great games. But they're tackling Batman. The company claims that the new game will have a bigger emphasis on adventure and detective work rather than combat.
Interesting.
It's meant to tell the story of Batman's early years.
Uh-huh. So like a
in operation,
like a year one, year zero type.
Kind of, yeah. So they're they said they're going to focus more on the detective side of him and the.
So the opposite of Batman versus Superman.
Right. Right.
You couldn't Google white Portuguese? Jesus Christ, man.
Google. You could have found that. It's a ship.
Fucking ship. It's a ship. It has a registry. Just Google it, man. So one thing about... There's two parts of that movie that bother me. Even the updated version, there's two parts of that movie that bother me. And they're very little and very minor and stupid things. That's one. And the other thing is Clark Kent... at the library thing, and he goes, "Who's that?" And he goes, "Oh, you don't know? That's Bruce Wayne." Like, "Oh, I'm sorry. Did you not know?
Yeah.
Did you not know the billionaire?
Who's
did you not
like,
know Steve Jobs? Like, if I see Steve Jobs walking out of a limo, I'm gonna go, 'Who's that?' Oh, you don't know? That's Steve. Who the fuck doesn't know Steve Jobs, bro? Who doesn't know Bruce Wayne? Like, that's the part that really I'm like, you're a fucking journalist. You're pretending to be one.
Pretend.
Like,
yeah. Can you pretend?
He didn't go to journalism.
Can you pretend to know the billionaires that live across the street from you? Just saying. Go ahead.
No, I'm sorry. Well, actually, no. But and also number three is Ezra Miller's man bun.
Well, I'm
pretty sure he blocks that part of the movie out.
It's weird that they only showed Cyborg, Wonder Woman, and Aquaman.
Yeah.
They didn't show Flash or whatever.
I mean, they had a file for him. Why didn't they show it?
It's weird.
Number four is a whole movie, but.
But so episode
David's yelling guy. I fucking knew it. I hated the movie.
So episode one of the games of Telltale Games, it's gonna be episodic.
I played the Telltale games of Walking Dead.
Yeah,
they're awesome.
Yeah, they were great. I played the first two and then I bought the whole thing, but I never downloaded the other ones.
The 300 days and all the there's four episodes.
I bought four episodes.
Or it's gonna come out. But it's set to release August 2nd.
I feel like, man, that's a hell of a mountain you gotta climb for that. Telltale Games to overcome what Arkham Asylum did, because even if they say it's different than Arkham Asylum, they're still going to get compared to Arkham Asylum no matter what.
Well, and I think that's why they're making an emphasis saying that it's not going to be on combat, it's going to be on detective work, and even though there was a lot of detective work in Arkham Asylum. And stuff, but I mean, everybody agrees that the combat was like one of the most beautiful things about that game.
I mean,
you know.
Yeah. It's what makes Batman Batman, which is what I've been saying ever since when Rocksteady announced that they were gonna not make another Batman game. They go, before even the last entry came out, they said, "Look, we're done with Batman. We can't tell any more stories. We think we're good." And from that moment on, I was like, "You could just do a Green Arrow game, and it'll be the same as a Batman game. And
that'd be awesome.
It'd be awesome.
Yeah,
because it's difficult to do somebody with actual superhero powers, because it's kind of like you have to get that." Like what Batman did with the video games is like you have to build your arsenal.
Right.
So you have to build, so you don't start off with every weapon in the game. You have to build to that. Same thing that Green Arrow could do. You could literally, Ollie could build his arsenal.
Yeah.
And it's difficult. But it's difficult to do that with a metahuman because they're like, "Oh, you're Superman, but you can't use your heat vision yet." Well, why not?
Yeah.
Now you gotta explain this why I can't use my
right.
because it's small though.
Yeah, exactly. So that's what I think you have. I always said, man, just do it with him.
That'd be a really cool game.
You could do a Cyborg.
He needs to download upgrades.
Yeah,
yeah, but Cyborg doesn't have the rogues gallery that Ollie has.
You can even do a GTA thing, but with like the Teen Titans, like the GTA 5, where you can switch characters and do.
Oh, that would be. Jesus Christ. Oh yes. My God,
that would be.
But why would I leave Raven?
Yeah.
I would just be Raven the whole time.
But you have to go. Remember, like, GTA?
Yeah, I know. They force you.
Like, I don't want to be the black guy. Come on, man. He was not the weakest character in the game. Come on, yeah. Dude. The other two were so super interesting. This dude's like, I'm going to move up to the hills. I'm like, ah, oh, Jesus. What the stereotype here, huh?
I'm going to get some bitches. Yeah. Whoa, dude.
Take it easy.
So I skipped this bit of news since you were going. You stepped away real quick, Neri. But... Rory Brewer, the president of worldwide distribution for Sony, stated that the Ghostbusters world is alive and well, and that he expects Ghostbusters to become an important brand and franchise to Sony. He also said that although no official announcements have been made, he has no doubt in mind that additional films are coming.
For which one?
Ghostbusters.
Yeah. Jeff and I saw it, and I loved it. I really did. I enjoyed that movie thoroughly. It was a lot of fun. I posted something yesterday that everybody got really, really upset about. It's just because nostalgia.
Present company included.
Yeah, it's just nostalgia, I think, is really one of those things where it's so hard. It's so... It roots itself deeply. Yeah. And I said, I love the original two Ghostbusters, including Part 2. Like, I love Part 2, like,
yeah,
a lot.
Yeah, I don't know why people hate so much hate Part 2.
People hated them, especially critics, when it first came out. Yeah. Like, now I think it's looked upon, like, fondly. But at that time, review-wise, it got smashed. And I love Part 2 and I love Part 1.
But how can you hate Viggo?
Yeah.
The Scourge of Carpathia!
That's dope. Dude, I love that. Like, I...
Command me,
he's Viggo.
Part 2, I thought was a comedy. Part 1, I never saw Part 1 as a comedy. I saw Part 1 as like a suspenseful thriller action with comedic moments, of course, but not... There's like one or two moments, and they're not laugh out loud. They're quotable. You know, like, yes, this man was born without a penis and stuff like that. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's like... I don't know. I just never saw Part 1 as a comedy. I didn't see it as a comedy.
Looking back on it, I can agree with you on that...
I think it had comedic less actors, of a and everybody assumed there was a comedy. But I'm like, I don't see the comedy in this movie. I'm not saying it doesn't have its comedic moments, but I just don't see it as a comedy. Like, I don't
right
laugh and out loud moments. Can you name me a laugh out loud moments in Part 1?
This man has no dick. I cracked up.
Yeah, it's great.
I chuckle at that. I don't laugh out loud at that. I don't laugh out. I'm like, oh, that's funny.
And the Rick and then Moranis,
the whole raining dogs and cats and the, or cats and dogs getting along.
Mass hysteria.
Mass hysteria. I thought it was funny, but I don't. Again, we're literally four dudes thinking back on one movie, and we're coming up with two or three of the same moments in the movie. I don't think it's a funny movie. I love the movie. I think it's fantastic. I think that movie works more as a horror movie because it scared the bejesus out of me when I was a kid. Those dogs, they made their way into my nightmares, dude. Those dogs.
And I think that's one of the reasons why, having seen it, because I know Raul and Jason haven't seen it yet. But
the new one.
The new one, they meant for it to be a comedy.
Yeah.
I don't think they meant for the original Ghostbusters necessarily to be a comedy. Mm-hmm. And the thing is, you're one person that has gone on record saying you do not like scary movies.
Yeah. I can't take them. This is a different story. I don't watch them. They scare me. And I can't take them. I have watched a couple scary movies here and there, like when I get dragged by a group of friends, you know?
Right.
And, you know, again, The Ring I thought was a fantastic movie. Mm-hmm. Scared of a Jesus.
But it makes you uncomfortable.
They make me uncomfortable.
So... You've just said, you know, that you think the first one's more of a horror thriller.
Yeah.
So, right off the bat, you already have a little bit more. This, I could tell.
It's just like the Gremlins.
Gremlins is terrifying.
Gremlins is terrifying. Part 2, straight up comedy. Yeah.
I love that the funny part of the movie is supposed to be when the girl's telling the story of how her dad died in the chimney. I'm like, that's supposed to be funny?
Yeah.
Like,
they hang a dog by Christmas lights.
Yeah.
That's not funny to me. I'm like, this movie's not funny. I'm like, I made the mistake of watching that movie maybe like 4 or 5 years ago, The Gremlins, with the mentality of like, oh, I haven't seen this movie in 15 years. It's a comedy. I made that because I had seen Part 2 more recently. No, not a comedy. I don't know if they did not make that a comedy.
But I think that the new Ghostbusters, it got too much shit from people that didn't see the movie, that they were just like, oh, it's four girls, they're ruining
that
everything.
That movie had on IMDb, that movie was a 4.6 before it ever came out. And it was 12,000 votes. Mm-hmm. Understand that.
At a 4.6 out of 10.
4.6 out of 10.
Okay.
Out of 10.
Yeah.
Before it ever came out. And it's not 4.6 out of 10. It's not 4.6 out of 10 because there's 50 douchebags on the internet. 12,000 votes. 12,000 people went online and voted for that movie.
Yeah.
Gave it awful ratings before it ever came out.
Yeah.
Like, that's crazy talk to me. That just shows you.
And the thing is, yeah, it's just, it's you're,
like,
you're,
Raul did that with Batman vs. Superman before it even came out already.
Hurt our shit.
I guess I was getting right.
It's up to a 5.3 right now, like, with 42,000.
Yeah, like, you're talking about a guy who built an Ecto-1 for his son and dressed up. Like, I love Ghostbusters.
Dude, I love that part about in the movie. I'm not giving any spoilers away, but I love the fact that they show the progression of how they get the backpack.
How they tweak it.
It didn't start off as a backpack, and it literally, and you can see, and she,
yeah,
and you, they show you scenes of the chick, I forget her name,
Kate McKinnon, Holtzman.
Yeah, they show her like, oh, maybe we could do this, and we had more power.
She was the best part of that movie for me. Uh-huh. Her and Chris Hemsworth were the best.
Chris Hemsworth a little bit too slapsticky to me.
Surprisingly, Rotten Tomatoes gave it a 73%.
No,
it has it's certified fresh.
There's nothing that anybody could do anymore. It's certified fresh.
Yeah.
And that's it. You're, so whatever it goes down to, there's
it was already certified fresh.
It's already certified. That it can't go any lower than 60%.
So there certified. Were, and the thing is,
something that the original Ghostbusters isn't. It's not certified, by the way.
Neary
somebody
liked
should
the
probably whole, correct that. It's because it's awesome.
Neary liked the whole movie. There was little bits that bothered me, mm-hmm. but I highly recommend, and especially if you have a kid, especially a daughter. I think that movie they would really do.
There was one time where in the movie there was one joke that I literally turned to my wife and said it was a sexist joke, but it was sexist towards men.
Right.
And I looked at my wife and I said, if they would have done that joke the other way around,
it would have
caused all hell, like all
hysteria.
The political correctness police would be like, I can't believe you.
Yeah,
literally. And it's I'm not spoiling anything. Literally, there's no secret. Like, if you see the trailers, Chris Hemsworth's character is dumb. He's dimwitted.
Yeah,
and
an idiot.
Yeah, like idiot, like crazy, like
not, over like, excessive idiot.
No, like he needs a helmet and needs to be in the hospital.
Yeah,
like he's crazy. Like the amount of dumbness. Like, again, it's silly and fun, but it's like. Like, he doesn't know to cover his ears when loud things happen. That's okay. That kind of crazy, right? Again, just giving random example. She literally turns to him, Melissa McCarthy, and goes, mm-hmm. "Oh, you're so lucky. You're pretty."
Yeah.
And I'm like, funny joke. They got a laugh.
Yeah.
But I was like, if that would have been the other way around, if a man would have told a woman, "Oh, you're so lucky. You're pretty," forget it.
Done.
That's it.
Done.
The political correctness police would have been all hell.
And she and let me tell you, Leslie Jones got so much shit on Twitter and
racist stuff. Yeah.
Leslie Jones was awesome in that.
Twitter
movie.
Literally canceled everybody who posted something
negative
racist.
To her.
Not negative, racist.
Okay.
Because
you can't do that. Because then nobody would be on Twitter.
Everybody on Twitter would be shut down.
Or millennia quotes.
Yeah.
There'd be no Twitter.
Yeah. So then, but they deleted everybody's account. Twitter went ahead and deleted everybody's account, and I thought it was fantastic.
Yeah.
That they did that. Like that Twitter would step up like that. Yeah.
No room for racism.
I don't find Leslie Jones funny. I thought she was great in this movie. Mm-hmm. I don't find her funny. This is the only thing I've ever liked her in that she's been in. Again, I'm only counting Saturday Night Live and the movie that she did with Chris Rock. Those are the only two things I've ever seen her in, and I don't like her in either one of those things. But this, I like her in.
Okay. And Melissa McCarthy was like. The best way I can describe it is she was a mix of Ray and Peter Venkman. Because she was smart, but she was a smartass.
Yeah, yeah.
She was like the mix of the two of them.
Can we start making the argument now that Melissa McCarthy... I mean, I haven't seen Ghostbusters yet, but it's been forming my mind because I've seen Spy, I've seen Bridesmaids and shit like that.
Spy was fantastic.
Yeah, Spy's amazing. I thought was going to be crap.
Yeah.
And it's amazing.
Yeah.
It's hilarious.
I saw the trailer when it first came out. And I saw the trailer, I was like, this is going to be garbage. I'm not watching this. And then all the reviews started coming out. And again, I'm not a person that's solely based on reviews. I'm not sold one way or the other, right? I'm like, if it looks interesting to me, I'll watch it, even if the reviews are bad. And if the reviews are really good and I don't want to see it, that's the only time I'm like, well, maybe I'll give it a shot.
No.
And my friend gave me a good example. He goes, well, yeah, I did a screenshot. I'm like, how can the ratings be so good for this movie? The previews look like awful. And my friend said, it would be like... what's his name from The Office? Steve Carell.
Steve Carell. Yeah.
What was the one that he did? A spy movie he did.
Get Smart. The Rock.
They said it's like Get Smart with. It's like imagine Get Smart but with Melissa McCarthy. And the moment he said that, I go, now I want to see it. It wasn't necessarily the reviews. The reviews made me question why my my meter is so off. But when he said it's basically, he goes, I haven't seen it yet, but I can envision that it's basically Get Smart with Melissa McCarthy. The moment he said that, I'm like, oh, yeah. Now I definitely want to see it. And we bought it, and dude, it's fantastic.
Yes, and they're doing a sequel that's going to be focused on Jason Statham's character, supposedly.
Which is great. He was hilarious in the
movie. I thought he was hilarious, but Melissa McCarthy carried that.
Yeah, movie. No, he did. She did, and actually Rose Byrne was actually really funny in that movie as well.
Yes. Oh, my God. Yeah. We literally had to pause it laughing when that lady goes, oh, that abortion of a dress. We could not. We could not. My wife and I were stopped. We were pounding table. We're like, ah. It was fantastic.
So, and then two quick hit things. Big news, Star Wars Celebration happened recently in Europe.
Celebrate good times, come on.
And celebrate. Which I will be attending next year in Orlando, and I'm super excited for.
I was going to buy tickets, but then I was like, who cares about this?
Go. they officially announced who the next, who's going to be the young Han Solo in the Origin movie. It's going to be Alden.
Didn't they announce that like a month ago or something?
No, it was Star Wars Celebration they announced it.
It's the official.
Announcement.
Oh, okay. Did it change from what everybody's expected? Was?
It's Alden Ehrich.
No.
From Blue. The two big movies he's done is Blue Jasmine and Hail Caesar. He was apparently, I haven't seen it. I wanted to see Hail Caesar, but I haven't seen it yet.
Yeah, I want to see it.
But yeah, he's going to be the movie's untitled still, but they've got him cast for it. And I mean, they put a side by side of him, and he's even got like the little like
clef,
the little chin like
clef.
Yeah, clef.
Is it clef?
Clef chin.
Yeah, clef chin.
I don't know why.
Look, I know you're a Star Wars fan, right? Yeah. I am too. I like it. Again, not as super Star Wars fans like you guys. Mm-hmm. I like it a lot. I'm not, you know, I used to make a lot of jokes about it, you know, whatever. I no longer do that. I like the movies, and I like the universe, the shared universe.
Right.
Is there any part of you that made you want to see, like, I want to see a preview of Han Solo? Han Solo was perfect the way he was. Yeah. There's not a single moment, even when I was talking shit about the movie, there's not a single time I said anything negative about Han Solo. I was like, he's perfect. There's no part of me that made me go, I wonder what he was like when he was younger. I wonder what made him this way. I don't give a
fuck. I'd rather just perfect. Have the stories that he told.
That's already, like, the fact that we know little about him is what makes him him.
Yeah,
he's like a badass, badass. Just smuggler, and that's it. Okay, good.
Like I don't need to see him do the Kessel Run in 12 parsecs. I'm like, I he said it that he did it.
Classic.
And classic. But you know, like I see what you're saying. Like I would like to see the Boba Fett origin.
That's
because
the only
since
one
he didn't really get a lot of screen time.
Oh, because he's overrated.
Right. Why I set that up there.
He is, though.
For the deer.
David, he's completely overrated.
David's shitting himself right now.
Yeah. Wow. Probably.
Well, he's taking a Boba? Okay.
Yeah.
60 minutes worth of it, at least.
Yeah.
Oh.
80 pages.
And then just last bit is San Diego Comic-Con is either going on right now. Or it's just wrapped up, depending on when Neri posts this.
Yeah.
We're recording this on the preview night, so.
Yeah.
We're recording this on preview night. It's just I have to wake up early tomorrow to catch a flight. So I may put it up. I may not.
Yeah,
whatever.
So. But we'll next episode, we'll do our reactions and everything like that to it.
I had, what was that one news that I had?
You guys want to do fake reactions right now? Bro, can you believe that thing came out?
I can't believe it. And they showed that thing from that other movie.
Bro, did you see this thing came out? I don't know how I feel about it, bro.
Well, if it's Marvel, we know you love it. You love it. What was that?
All girls, Magic Mike. No, thank you. Keep it with the dudes.
Agreed.
40%, 4.5 on Rotten Tomatoes.
What? No Jeff Manganiella? No, thank you.
It's Joe, don't you dare say that name.
I like the fact that you're thinking about Jeff as you're thinking about Manganiella as well.
I wish I had that body.
Are you kidding me? I wish I had. I wish you had that body. Just so I could sit next to you every week and be like,
Hey, you're going to make it the house really hot, so I have to take my shirt off while we record.
My wife was like, it's warm in here. Shut up, bitch.
Shut up. Jeff is coming over, isn't he?
But yeah.
Jeff Manganiello's coming over.
Jeff Manganiello's coming over.
Oh, they released a picture of the still photo of Power Rangers without unmasked.
Yeah.
Yes.
That side shot.
That whatever.
And then Rita Repulsa, like, choking the Yellow Ranger. They released that photo of it too.
Bro, yeah. Can you believe that Brian Cranston is going to be Zord?
Zordon. Sorry. Yeah, we talked about that two episodes ago.
But
I'm in for that though.
No, anything Brian Cranston does. What? Yeah.
Say my name.
Zordon, bro. All right, Zordon.
But wouldn't it be great? He's like, I am the one who knocks or beams you up. You know what I'm saying, right?
I'm you the one get that morphs.
When I'm morphs. Well, damn it, there was something else.
Look, there's Billy Zane.
Billy Zane.
Yeah.
Yep.
The easy way.
Billy Zane. Who's Billy?
Titanic, Phantom. Bro. Demon. Well, there I know him more from Demon Knight.
The Phantom?
Or Phantom. That's or what
Demon
I know.
Knight.
I know
that's Demon Knight.
I love wasn't that he movie. In, wasn't he in the pirate movie too? Am I with
Underrated.
Wasn't Scared he
in no, that was Cutthroat Island
is Matthew Modine.
Davis and Matthew Modine. There you go.
Matthew Modine.
Which, by the way, don't watch Stranger Things, Jason, because Matthew Modine's in it.
Oh, God.
So
you don't like Matthew Modine?
Oh,
excuse me.
That's his favorite
actor. Why don't you tell Raul what we did for you? Because we love you so much.
He tweeted me for my birthday, which is coming up in a week. Oh, so.
We there got him to tweet. We got Matthew Modine to tweet happy birthday
to him.
Yeah,
he cussed awesome. Us out so much.
Yeah.
Wait, I want to know why. Yeah. Where's the history of the hate? I want to know why.
He's just a terrible actor.
There's much more terrible actors than Matthew Modine.
I don't know.
I think he has an Academy Award, actually.
Right? What's his name? Christian Christensen?
Hayden.
We're off with names today.
Hayden is really... Like, there's like... Like ultimate, like I'm not saying Modine is a great actor. He did do well in Full Metal Jacket. That was dope. He did great in that. You can't take it away from him. Even I, who don't like, I'm not a fan of Keanu Reeves.
He was great as Joker, man.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah.
When even me,
he was Joker, and
that was his character's name.
Character's name, Joker. I'm sorry.
This is another.
More importantly, did you hit play?
No.
Because we have had that issue before.
No. Yeah, we're good now. there was a couple things that came out. The first photos of Kid Flash from season 3.
Oh, yes.
Were released. You could also see that on the Mount Geekmore Instagram.
Yep.
The first photos of, not the first, but some pretty badass photos of Wonder Woman, of Gal Gadot as Wonder Woman on set.
Yep.
Dude, that shit looks... I hope to God they don't Snyder it and make that shit darker. Keep the colors as bright as they are.
Like, yeah. I know it's going to sound weird, but if they can, like... And you guys are going to take this the wrong way. If they did, like, Captain America number one, like the second half of Captain America number one, I feel like that movie's going to be good if they aim for, like, that type of
style. I don't think... Dude, I got to be honest with you. After what happened in Batman vs. Superman with Wonder Woman... I think they're gonna have to work pretty hard to mess up that movie.
Yeah,
which we all know from experience they could do.
They could.
Warner Brothers is experienced. They could just go to the editing block and just start chopping vital pieces of information away, and they'll do it. But I mean, dude, that I just think that it's already, you know what I mean? It's not like you know, like a lot of people didn't like Man of Steel. I don't understand why, but a lot of people didn't. So when they went into Batman vs Superman, they're like, I don't know, man. It was Man of Steel wasn't good. I've still to this day. You did, right? You're the one person that complained about Wonder Woman's role in Batman vs Superman.
It was the people on cosplay, right?
No, I did too.
Remember?
He didn't like the grin that she gave.
It was look, and I admit that. She looks amazing. I don't know why. She looks a lot better in the Wonder Woman picture I've seen so far. And
it looks better is because it's brighter. I'm not even lying.
Yeah,
it's because you're not dulling the colors. The colors, I'm like, this is what it needs to look like. This right here. That's why I said, I hope to God they don't Snyder that bitch.
Robin Wright's going to be in it as one of the Amazonians. And I have a lot of hope for that movie. I have a lot of really positive hope for that movie.
What was the other one that there was another? What was when the trailers for the Ghostbusters movie came out?
There's a XXX trailer that came out today.
In the Ghostbusters movie, the one with Gina
Carano.
Yeah,
that was XXX.
That was another
one. No, it wasn't XXX. No. They showed in the trailer.
Jean-Claude Van Damme, kickboxer.
Kickboxer.
The kickboxer.
Oh, dude, I had my JC.
Actually, Batista as the guy looks amazing.
See what they could have done. See what they could have done with Bane. Do you see now?
Do you see what they could have done with Bane?
You mess
with Look,
you.
Could have
got a huge, massive body. Imagine that guy. Because I said The Rock because I put The Rock in everything. But imagine Batista with a mask. Imagine him putting his hand on a shoulder. You believe that, bro. Imagine that guy picking up Christian Bale. You believe that back is broken, right? That, come on, dude. That you.
Why are we all focusing on me?
Because you're the only one that I've ever met that defends.
Because I like the series.
I know the series is great. Look, I just bought it. I just bought it. Even though I've already had it.
Why do I feel like we're going to be talking about this later? Yeah.
From somebody. Why?
All right. So we're at 39 minutes. So we're good. We went a little over. Sorry, but all right. So let's get to the mountain.
Ricola.
See what I did there? He did that. He did.
Hey.
All right. So, mountain. Our mountains are for the film redo movies. Yes. The best redos.
Yeah, and we did it. It didn't necessarily have to be better than the original. It just had to be a good movie that was.
Well,
a
remake again, this is what makes your mountain. You're going more into what makes your mountain.
Oh, okay. All right.
Yeah. Some people choose it based upon whether it's better than the original or not.
Okay.
So this is good, but we did redos because we had a hard time coming up with whether we should do remakes or reboots. What constitutes a reboot? What constitutes a remake? Yada yada yada. So we just said, man, let's just put it all together.
Yeah.
My original goal, what I wanted to do is do either reboots because of the Ghostbuster movie.
Yeah.
That's what made me think of it. I'm like, oh, this is a good reboot. Let's do reboot
movies. Or Kickboxer.
But that one hasn't come out yet, so we don't know if it's good yet. I know you jumped the gun and you shot it before they come out.
What are you talking about? That movie's fantastic. 10 out of 10 on IMDb.
Van Damme movie,
according to Raul.
There's been very few Van Damme movies that I have not liked.
Uh-huh.
Even though I will admit they're not great, I will tell you it's hard. Which one?
Knock Off, the one with Rob Schneider.
Yeah. Again, there's very few. I'm not saying it's impossible. I'm not saying there's not one. But there's another one that he did recently, but he wasn't a main star. So I was like, or they killed him off like with like 30 minutes left in the movie, and I'm like, this is the only reason.
Was I that bought the this island movie. One?
No, it was one where he was a thief, and but he was part of a group, and that group it was like 100 miles east of or close to Vegas, but not in Vegas. And I think it was called Swalter.
Okay.
And the whole movie was like orange. It was meant to like show you how hot it was, right. And it worked because the whole movie I'm like, God damn, someone put the AC on this bitch. This shit is hot as fuck. And
where's the Freon?
But they killed his character off with like still like he wasn't the main character.
Okay.
And the moment they killed his character off, I'm like, why would I continue watching this movie?
I mean, we all can agree we loved Double Team with Dennis Rodman and Mickey Rourke.
I did like Double Team.
And Dane Cook for a cameo appearance.
The fact that Double Team is called Double Team is hilarious to me because Rodman was the shit at that one point in time in his career. Yeah. He came out like 10 minutes in that movie. He came out and he was like, here are the guns. Bye.
Yeah.
Like it was like one of those like, why are we calling this? You're getting a double billing? You're getting like co-billing on this? Like this, that's how popular he was at the time. Anyway. So go ahead.
All right, no. Just my mountain. I didn't necessarily go with, even though one of them, it's arguable that it is. I didn't go with that it had to be better than the original. It's just a remake that or a reboot that itself was a great movie.
Mm-hmm.
I tried to mix it up, so I have three genres covered in here. But I didn't want to try to just keep it to one genre because I could have done one on horror movies alone.
Yeah.
But but that's basically how I did it. Raul?
So, guys, you might be asking, wait, guys, why don't you do remakes? Oh, wait, guys, why don't you do reboots? Well, let me tell you, motherfuckers, why we didn't, okay? Because let me tell you, my friends, if you go on the internet right now and type in top 10 best remakes or top 10 best reboots, guess what? You're getting the same fucking lists, okay? Because IMDb has it that way. Ranker has it that way. Every list you have, okay? So, you know what? We're going to go redos, and you can kiss my ass if you're really pissed off about it, all right? Remember to follow us at mountgeekmore.com and mtgeekmore.
Or geekbro.net.
So I think it's a very simple list. I think it easily could be on a list that would have been dominated by horror movies because a lot of remake horror movies are amazing.
Yep.
Again, he doesn't speak for everybody in the panel.
No, right.
He's already speaking for himself because I have not watched many horror movies to be able to.
I just have a lot of things that significantly impacted my life that I've not only watched the original and the remakes, and they both make me feel some type of way. And that's it.
Cool.
I'm going to be the Diego of this episode. I went with the movies.
You're gonna be here?
Well, that too. But I just went with the movies that I like.
You went text us about this 2 days
ago. I went two reboots, two remakes. I like the movies. Screw you guys. They're staying the way they are.
Boom.
I'm gonna be a bit. There's no way I'm gonna get a Perfect Mountain here. No way at all. I went with what's good. Our list was a little harder than I thought it would be. Mm-hmm. To be honest with you,
especially that last one before.
Yeah. Well, I there was a part of me that was hoping one of my picks wouldn't be considered a reboot. Mm-hmm. Because if it wouldn't, I would have been like, oh, thank God, I can't put it on. Like, I want to put it on the list, but I wanted to just make it easier on myself and not even have it as an option. So, but all right, there you go. So that's going to be how I got to pick up. Just movies I really like. Again, I'm still debating my number four because, and I know that the only reason I don't know, whatever.
The thing is, I think this is one of those mountains where
this is tougher to me than my Schwarzenegger mountain.
I think
this is tougher to me that I don't remember the last time I had a mountain this tough for me, because usually I'm like, no, that I know what I like,
right?
But this
mountain is one where I think even number four isn't a throwaway. Like, usually we have number four is kind of a throwaway. You know what I mean?
Number four to me, what I always mean by throwaway is a movie that I know that nobody else is going to, or a pick that nobody else is going to have.
Yeah. Well, that's kind of what I did.
Yeah, but that's what I like. You know what I mean? But I still, it's not like I picked my number four. I was like, well, which was a shittier one? I always go, well, people aren't going to have this on their list. Right. So I'm just going to go with this.
Well, and one other thing that I did is everything that I picked, I've seen the original and I saw the remake.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Reboot. Yeah, I think that goes without saying. It should go without saying, but I guess you're right. Yeah.
Right. But yeah,
Jeff, what's your number four?
Okay, so my number four, I went to the horror genre for my number four.
Shocker.
It's the 1978 Invasion of the Body Snatchers.
How great would it have been if your pick would have been Shocker?
Oh my god. That would have been actually fun. Thanks for the segue.
Actually, yeah, it is Shocker. Did you see my list?
The remake of it is Ernest Goes to Jail.
You know that crappy Wes Craven movie? Yeah, Shocker.
That poster scared the bejesus out of me for a long time.
That was a freaky ass poster.
That poster was in my local video store before Blockbuster became a thing. Was up there for months upon months. Mm-hmm. And it, like, every time I would go in, and I would go in there pretty regularly, I would see it as a kid, and I'm like,
it was a guy in an
electric chair with a jumpsuit, and he was like, and it was like, it looked almost 3D.
Yep.
Oh.
Like he was floating in air. It wasn't like they had a shot of him in a room. It was just him in the poster, and then the titles and the credits, but it was just him. It wasn't like you saw the floor.
Yep.
It wasn't like you saw. No, it was just him. Yeah, creepy, super creepy. There's a part of me that wants to see that movie just to see, like,
I'll watch it. I'll hold your hand, buddy. Uh-huh. Sorry.
Hold your hand.
But yeah, Invasion of the Body Snatchers, the 1978 version. The original one's from 1956 of the same title.
I gotta write these down.
Yeah.
All right. Invasion of the Body Snatchers.
Yeah. The remake had Donald Sutherland as one of the main guys. Leonard Nimoy was in it. Jeff Goldblum was in it.
Yep.
This is one of the ones on my list that I can say was better than the original for sure.
Mm-hmm.
It went into a bit more of the story, and I don't know if you have ever seen it, Neri, The Invasion of the Body Snatchers.
No.
Long story short of it is that aliens come down.
Oh, I know the
with
gist
pod
of it.
People. They're pod people. Yeah. Okay, I don't know if you knew that.
It's in the title.
Yeah,
your bodies.
Well, they replace them, and they become the same person with the same personality. The only thing is that they don't have emotions.
Yeah. Right. It's kind of like
have you ever seen Invasion like with Nicole Kidman?
No,
that was exactly what I was about to say. Have you ever seen the faculty?
I've seen, but I was thinking more of the what's the one with Christopher Reeve with the kids.
Oh my God! It's not Children of the Corn. What is it?
That the kids all had white hair. Remember?
No, Children of the Corn.
Yeah, it's Children of the Corn.
No,
White hair is Children of the Corn.
Remember one of the kids is like, "We have your woman, Outlander." I'm trying to remember.
Children of the Corn.
Yes. No, it's not the Christopher Reeve movie I'm talking about. Is
no Children of the Damned. I think isn't it Children of the Damned?
Maybe.
Let's
look up
Christopher Reeve.
Why are you looking that
Village
up?
Of the Damned. So, Village of the Damned. Maybe.
So it It's actually, funny enough, it's regarded... People have said that this movie is the proof that remakes are okay to be done.
Mm-hmm.
Because this movie, the original, people love the original one. And it's during the 1950s when, you know, you had all these, like, these great old school horror movies and stuff like that.
Yeah, Village of the Damned.
Village of the Damned.
Okay. Village of the Damned.
And Linda Hamilton's in it.
But...
You know, and they took
well, that's
they
more
took
like a step Stepford wife thing, right?
The Body Snatchers?
No, no, Village of the Damned. I'm thinking like the Body Snatchers thing. You're right, but the Faculty is a better example. Of,
yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh yeah, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, you're good. And
how do we find out about the aliens, guys? Let's get some cocaine.
Yeah, it was speed. Literally, yeah, they had speed. There was a point where
the invasion of Body
Snatchers and Body Snatchers that they took speed so that the aliens couldn't not because if respect. They fell asleep, the aliens would. That's how they would take them over mm-hmm. and take over their bodies. But it, one of the most iconic scenes in the movie is at the end. Donald Sutherland, yeah, like awesome. The girl sees him and she calls out to him, and when he realizes that she's not. Her? One of the pod people,
mm-hmm.
One of the things from the pod people throughout the movie is that they would give this screech, like this blood-curdling screech.
That's what they do. They
point and give this blood-curdling screech to let other pod people know that there's somebody that's not a pod person. Mm-hmm. And you just see him and he just go, his face gets all deformed and he just points to her and just does this blood-curdling scream and she's like, oh, fuck. And that's one of the like most iconic scenes from that movie.
So it was a twist that he was a pod people.
Yeah.
Spoiler alert.
Sorry. Spoilers. It's from 1978 if you haven't seen it yet.
Yeah. Oh, you're turning to David now.
Sorry. Yeah. I should have said that. Sorry. My bad. But it's just a great remake. It's a great... And I mean, there's like three other horror movies that I probably could have put, but the fact that people were historically...
Did you not pick any other horror one?
No.
Oh, so The Omen is out. All
right. Yeah, sorry, it's not my number one. Like some people were gonna put.
That was a little.
It because it's been critically acclaimed as the reason remakes are. Oh, that was one of the first examples that people gave for remakes are okay to be done.
How much time passed? What was the original?
It was 56 to 78.
It was a good 20 years.
A good 20 years.
Yeah, and
18 years.
I mean, and it's people literally like that's what they've said. It took a great movie in the original and made it better.
Mm-hmm.
It was like the ultimate edition.
Now I think the reason people are so against reboots and remakes now is because one, they're turning them over too quickly. Mm-hmm. They're rebooting and remaking them too quickly.
Yeah.
And two, when people remake something that is from your childhood, that like nostalgia, like again, we talked about this with Death Wish. You, Jeff, I have a problem with remakes and reboots.
Yeah,
you don't have a problem with Death Wish because Death Wish wasn't in your childhood,
right?
Like, so it's just easier to go, yeah, I don't give a shit. Like, there were movies that while doing research for this list, there were movies I'm like, oh, that's a remake. Oh, I didn't know. Like, I had no idea, earthly idea that it was a remake.
And you're right, because like when Point Break, I remember watching Point Break as a kid. Like, I loved Point Break. So when I saw that the new one was coming out, I was like, no, fuck you.
Yeah, immediately you were like, no, this is awful. And I'm like, oh, but let's wait. I'm not saying it's
I mean, I saw it and it still wasn't great.
I'm not saying it's not. But the first one wasn't great. The original wasn't great.
It had Gary Busey. That's all that fucking matters. Yeah,
in a swimsuit. That's all we need.
Yeah. And Anthony Kiedis as a surfer. But yeah, so my...
That's the most believable part about that movie. The only believable part about that movie.
But yeah, so I put Invasion of the Body Snatchers.
All right.
Not bad.
Raul?
I'm pretty sure I'm going to have to table this, but I'm just going to say it really quick. So the whole entire Dark Knight franchise...
You can't do a whole franchise.
Okay.
You have to do a
movie. Okay, big one. Batman Begins.
You knew that was going to happen. You knew it was coming because you already had it in your back pocket.
Yeah, like, I got to take
it. Like, I just got to take this shot. Like,
no, it's Batman Begins. It's Batman Begins. That's the one that starts the remake.
Let's table that. New thing, so I'm
are we going to table that?
No.
Table that?
Nope.
Yeah, we're going to table that.
Yep.
I didn't want to give my hand away.
Yeah, too
late. I didn't want to show my hand. Jason.
Since he's not here, and I actually really enjoyed this movie.
Pong the movie.
Yes. Oh, no. No, this is actually an homage to David. I'm going with Star Trek.
I thought you were going to say something like Willow. I was like, yes.
An homage to David, Lord of the Rings.
Yeah, but does David like the remakes?
I don't care if he likes the remakes. It's Star Trek.
He enjoys Star Trek the remakes.
He does.
That Dreamboat Chris Pine.
I love the new Star Trek.
I love it.
I really enjoy the new ones. I will honestly say I have...
Star Trek...
2009. Yeah, I don't think it has
no subtitle.
No,
it's just Star Trek.
It's just a Star Trek.
Into the Darkness was the second one.
Yeah. And then I never watched Star Trek, like the original TV show. I never watched any of the original movies. And when I saw this movie come out, I was like, yeah, whatever. Let me go watch it. You know, it looks kind of interesting. And it's great. Like, it really gotten me into the franchise. I haven't gone back and watched any of the other movies, but But it's really gotten me into, and you know, I'm looking forward to the new one. I was looking forward to the second one. I really enjoyed the second one, and I think that it's really brought in like a new like
audience,
right?
J.J. Abrams realized with that movie that you can't. It's harder nowadays to do that Star Trek, and I know David's probably gonna be screaming at what I'm saying here, but it's harder nowadays to do Star Trek like it was before.
Well, no, we've talked about it. He'll agree. It can be a thinker.
I think we talked about this last episode. Star Trek can't be a thinking show anymore. It needs to have like the action and everything.
Right.
And obviously, that's pretty much what's hooked everyone, that the action and all that. So
yeah, no, that's a great, I can't knock it. Like, that's a great choice. Like, it's an awesome movie. Like, I'm psyched to see. I'm just depressed now that what's his name, Anton,
yeah,
you know, because
I think it's
Chekhov is gonna be,
it's such a good movie. I feel like it made J.J. Abrams a premier director, like an upper echelon director in comparison to the rest of Hollywood. I feel like I'm. I have to think.
He did Lost, and you know, he did.
Well, Lost, yeah, Lost kind of
did a lot of other things before.
Lost got him Fringe, super.
Did a lot of other things before, but I mean, I get you. Cinematically, maybe. Yeah. I guess I don't know his cinema.
Definitely.
The other one with the handheld camera. Was that him directing it? I know it was his production company. He was the
executive producer of Cloverfield.
Which was fantastic.
The one movie I always like is that movie in Super 8 that made me think. Yeah, no, J.J. Abrams.
Oh my god,
really good.
So good.
Really good.
So good.
You can tell he loves Steven Spielberg.
And the thing is that Stranger Things, what we've been talking about. It's basically part of it's an homage of Super 8. Nice. Like, it's very much like.
So should I see Super 8 first?
No, I mean. It's enough. Stranger Things is enough of
its own thing.
Because if you've seen The Goonies, you've seen E.T., you've seen Poltergeist. Well, I don't know if you've seen Poltergeist.
I've seen bits and pieces. Too bad we can't stay, baby.
Because there's a little bit of scariness to this show.
Yeah, no, I know.
Spooky. Yeah, spookiness.
But yeah.
It gives you the heebie-jeebies.
I am having
good pick, Jason.
I'm having a really tough time coming up with deciding what to put in my number four. But I'll just go with it, man. I'm going to go with 21 Jump Street. It's going to be my number four pick.
That's fine. That's awesome.
This was one of the things that we talked about in the thread. Can a movie be a reboot or a remake of a TV show? If its prior source is only TV, can it still be considered a reboot or a remake? And some people say David is the only one that goes, no, you can't judge 21 episodes on it. I'm like, whatever.
So, all mediums matter.
Yeah. Yep. So, but I love that movie, 21 Jump Street. I saw very little of the original show.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it was like, this is the movie that made me okay with, not just okay with, but actually like Channing Tatum.
Same with me.
Here's the thing. This is how good the movie is. Not only did it make me like Channing Tatum, it made me realize that I've been way too hard on him from previous movies. Because then I went back and go, well, if he was fantastic in this, what else has he been fantastic on that I just...
Because
it's him, didn't like him. And, and as the only movie really that I don't like of him is G.I. Joe. That I don't like him in is G.I. Joe. And that's just a casting or a writing thing. I don't know what it was. But I just didn't like him in that movie. But everything else, I mean, I go back and, you know, I have this conversation with people all the time. When they go, oh, Channing Tatum, I'm like, name me a bad movie he's done. Name me something that he's done that he's not good in. Again, I haven't seen all his work. I haven't seen the Magic Mike movies because, you know, I'm straight.
Neri, do not like Step Up? How dare you,
really?
Sir?
I've had to see
Step Up. Watch Magic Mike.
Christy told me, like, she's like, it's actually funny. Like,
But I can't respect the opinion of a woman saying that because
they're gonna see
Magic Mike.
They're watching all these abs and be like, no, trust me, it's funny. Like, you don't like.
Wait, you're gonna like
the movie regardless of whether it's funny. Like,
You gotta see that first 5 minutes of that movie. I'm speaking as a man here.
The Rock, it comes on. What happened?
It's just, you know, it's
Jeff Manganiello.
A person in my top 10 people that I would like to do things with.
Matthew McConaughey.
Him as well.
I'm thinking
Olivia Munn's making Olivia Munn's that movie for like a good 10 minutes.
I was actually just thinking about Velma. from Scooby-Doo. I'm like,
Zoinks. That would make that movie even better. Zoinks.
You said top 10. I was like, well, that's
the one. But yeah, no, 21 Jump Street was the same thing with me. I was like,
it's hilarious. And 22 Jump Street, arguably better than 21 Jump Street. Like, it's one of those.
If not for the, just for the scene with Ice Cube in the office it. When he finds Jesus out Christ. About.
I have not laughed. That, every time I had a conversation with somebody about what was the best comedy of that year, people would throw out movies. What's that Jason Bateman one with the spelling bee?
Bad Words.
That was
Bad Words, yeah. Which I thought was fantastic. And then I go, yeah, 22 Jump Street is better. And they go, huck. And they would give me times about Bad Words, which I love that movie. I did like that movie a lot. I go, can you name me a scene in Bad Words that made you laugh out loud, like that one scene in 22 Jump Street? I was in a cabin on a cruise ship, pounding on walls, laughing so hard. Yeah. Like, it was out.
That scene was like so
absurd. And not that the rest of the movie isn't funny. I'm just saying that obviously there's that one shining moment. But the rest of the movie was fantastic. I mean, just the inside baseball shit that they would throw out. They should have like, oh, we couldn't afford this anymore. It's not in the budget. And it's like, they're kind of talking about movie making, but they're also talking about police, you know, budgets. And like, remember that thing in the beginning? That first thing in the beginning, that was a lot of money. And the truck. And then, we just blew out our own money. And then they're running away from somebody in the golf cart.
Yeah.
And then they're literally running. They're trying to avoid hitting things because they don't have any more money.
Yeah.
And then the fucking bad guys are literally plowing over statues. Like, it's almost as if he's going out of his way. Like, I just think it's funny. But so, again, very difficult for a comedy sequel to be better. It's like, again, it's one of those, I don't believe this comment people always go, it's sequels are never as good as the original. And I don't believe that. I believe that there's a lot more sequels that are better than the original than one would think. Mm-hmm. With that said, comedy's very difficult.
Yes.
Because they tend to hash out the same jokes in different
ways. Like, again, the Austin Powers movies.
That's exactly what I was going with. Austin Powers movies got less and less funny as each season. And the reason why, if you've never seen part one and you saw part two, you would think it's hilarious. But they just did the same jokes. But 22 Jump Street's fantastic. Anyways, all right, so 21
Jump Street. That was a great sequel was... I don't know if you guys heard about this little ditty called City Slickers 2, The Search for Gold.
That's actually
Gold.
Yeah.
Oh, I was being sarcastic. No, that's actually pretty funny.
No, that's really funny. And it's funny. I would say it's funnier than part one because it didn't hash out the same jokes. Yep. It was that's really, really funny.
Sister Act 2, Back in the Habit. Nope.
No. You're not going to hear any arguments from
me. I'm sorry. But no, 21 Jump Street,
don't like Sister Act 2? What?
Of course, Lauryn Hill's in it, bro.
No, dude. What? You're recap. So fat, she sat on the rainbow. Skittles popped out. Whoa! Mic drop.
Booyah. Taste the rainbow, bitch.
Recap.
All right, so number four is our Invasion of the Body Snatchers, Batman Begins, Star Trek, the 2009 version, and 21 Jump Street. Again, my number four, you have no idea how hard it was for me to make that decision. All right. Number three. Hold on.
You dumb.
All right, so your number three, Jeff?
My number three is The Birdcage.
Dude, this is one that I didn't know was this is one of the ones, not the one I was talking about when I said I didn't know it was a remake, but I didn't know this one either.
Yeah.
Fantastic movie, though.
Yeah.
So good.
The original French film, Le Cage des Faux.
See, I don't
Did
think
I say
that's
that
a
right?
real movie, Frenchie? Though.
Yes.
Okay.
Oui.
It's not a real movie, though. It's a French movie. Come on, dude.
It actually, there was actually three movies and a play that came out of it, a Broadway musical.
You're not making your kid stronger. I don't think it was a play. Okay, whatever. I guess there's a thing.
Hey. But homage, my friend.
The original came out in 78, and it had two sequels. So technically, I guess The Birdcage, according to that definition that you don't like, would be a reboot because it was a series that they made a new movie of.
Well, I think it would be considered a reboot even if they made it original from part one.
But the thing is,
as long as they don't tell the same story.
No, but it's the same story, so it would be a remake.
Right?
Yeah, because
that's what I consider.
Yeah, it's basically the same story. But I mean, The Birdcage, it's in my top comedies of all time.
It's definitely. Yeah.
It's almost perfect. I think it's almost a perfect movie.
The pairing of Nathan Lane and Robin Williams. Amazing.
Robin Williams, Nathan Lane, Gene Hackman, Hank Azaria as Agador Spartacus.
That is the best part of the entire movie.
Heather Locklear.
No, Calista Flockhart.
Calista Flockhart.
I don't know why I mix them.
Yeah, but very different.
Who was 31 years old when she was playing a 19-year-old in that movie?
Wow.
Yeah, because she's anorexic. She's super skinny. Yeah.
But
she's like 70 now, and she looks like she's 40.
I mean, but the thing is, like, dude, The Birdcage, like the scenes where Hank Azaria is trying to be the servant, you know, and serving the dinner, and it's like, it's peasant soup.
Oh, no, sweet and sour pesto soup.
the dinner plates.
Oh
the
my pattern. God,
the pattern.
The pattern. Wrestling. And girls,
we got these plates from Greece.
It's just, you know, and then it's just like Robin. And it's interesting because Robin Williams originally was supposed to be the Nathan Lane character, and I'm trying to remember who it was that was. It was somebody else that was cast as Armand, which was Robin Williams' ultimate character. He couldn't. They couldn't do it because of a conflict. So Robin Williams like, I'd rather play this role.
So good.
And then they got Nathan Lane to play the other role. Great. And I mean, Hank, the
whole
be intimidated
scene.
By my Guatemalan-ness.
No, the best part is I do not wear the shoes because they make me fall.
Hello, welcome to the dinner party.
My name is Agador Spartacus. There's like the deep bow.
And then it's just dealing with Nathan Lane as the head, you know, the main drag queen in the club in Miami Beach and like
everything.
It was just
fantastic.
Everything, like the Advil. That they pretended it was
scratch off,
that he scratched out the aspirin.
What are you giving him?
Oh, the Pirin pills.
The Pirin pills. What is that? What are you giving him? It's just aspirin with the AS.
I just scratched the AS off. Like, it's just, to me, it's a perfect comedy. Anytime that movie's on TV, I'm going to watch it.
What's
funny is,
like a man. Oh,
that scene was fantastic.
Francesca had never seen the movie, and it was on HBO Go or something. And I just put it on, and she's like, "What is this?" I was like, "The Birdcage." And she, what's this? I was like, "Just watch.
Yeah. Sit down.
Just enjoy. Watch."
And thing is, it's touching too because it's, you know, you've got Nathan Lane battling on whether to be the person that he actually is or because of his adopted son, you know, and trying to impress with Gene Hackman being the senator with all that shit going on, like. And it's just it's an amazing movie. And
how long ago was that? When was that movie?
That was 96. And the Cage des Folles came out in 78.
Years? 20 years?
Almost.
20 years.
Yeah, 20
years.
Wow. 20 years later, and then the GOP still doesn't like gay people.
And for any of you local listeners, if you notice, the club that they are performing the Birdcage is Flamingos in South Beach.
Yep.
Which they still have the movie poster up on.
Oh, they do?
Yeah, I found that out when Robin Williams passed away. Local news did like a, you know, this is the movie, the place, whatever, and they still had the Birdcage movie poster up.
But, I mean, yeah, that's my number three. It's
fantastic. Awesome.
Ro?
Oh, my number three. Okay.
Yes.
That's how this works.
Guys, I'm going to talk about a movie that...
I really hope so.
It makes... I if you want to know the horror that really like gets into me, like it's like scary, is body horror in general. And this
body
is
horror?
Body horror is like when your body transmorphifies and turns into like a bunch of creep crap. So this movie,
I know what movie you're gonna pick then.
I don't think so. It's directed by David Cronenberg, who is like the king of this stuff, and it stars a little known actor named Jeff Goldblum. I don't know if you know. You know, sometimes he crashes through barriers, even violently. And a movie I'm picking, of course, is The Fly. The Fly with Gina Davis.
Yep.
Should I table this in case?
No, I thought about it though. But that
was an honorable mention.
So The Fly is an amazing movie. Again, David Cronenberg, the king of like body horror movies.
I haven't seen it as an adult, but I remember it was. Dude, that scene when he arm wrestled that guy?
Yes.
Oh,
boo.
Oh,
bro.
It is complete nightmare fuel. And it starred a woman who I used to love at the time, which is Gina Davis. And she's a great actress in general. Movie's just super creepy.
I find her very sexy.
Yeah, she is. No. Even still
to this day.
That's Dottie, bro.
Yes.
From the other
movie. I always found her amazing.
Long Kiss Goodnight, underrated movie with her.
Yep. They did a lot of crazy scenes with that movie where they show him walking on the walls and stuff like that. A Long Kiss Goodnight with Samuel Jackson.
Yeah. No, I know the movie. I thought Jeff was saying something else to me.
No, that's what I was saying because I thought you had responded to something.
Like
so definitely I recommend if you're a true horror fan and you really want to see like body horror at its best, is definitely The Fly. And it's a remake of a movie that came out in the 1930s. And it has a really interesting plot. I don't want to give out too much.
You know who produced that movie?
Huh?
You know who produced that movie?
Who produced it?
Mel Brooks.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yep. And when they were in the middle of producing it, of shooting it, he wanted he didn't want anybody to know that he was producing it because he wanted to take it seriously.
Yeah.
And he knew that once his name is out there, they would think it's a comedy, mm-hmm. and they wouldn't take it as serious. And yeah, so Mel Brooks.
Hey, no, the original's 58.
58?
Yeah, yeah.
All right. But it's a great movie. It's probably some of the best practical effects
you've
ever seen in your life.
You won the Academy Award for it.
I did?
The special effects.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
And anything with Goldblum in it.
And like my fiance has a big thing about Jeff Goldblum, so.
He's very awkward. He's like that for real in real life.
Yeah?
He's like, I heard him on the Empire podcast, Empire movie. Empire is a movie magazine, film review magazine, and they have a great podcast that I listen to every week. And he was a guest maybe two or three episodes ago, and very, very awkward like that. He's very like spacey, like very like out there, like very like.
I wouldn't have it any other way though.
Huh?
Yeah.
I don't think I'd have it any other way though.
It makes great, but it's for when you listen to him, you're like, okay, I need you to settle down. I need you to like just like. But sure. He really is like that. Is what
like
I'm
like. Come back to Down Earth, Angel. Okay, yeah. Come on. So it's definitely.
I see what you did there.
Yeah.
That would be a good mountain, the Jeff Goldblum mountain.
That would be an amazing mountain.
That would be difficult.
And power again,
clearly goes up on the hold your spoons.
So number three is a fly, and that's my number three.
All right.
Taoying.
I was gonna put it at my number two, but I'll drop it down. I'm gonna put The Birdcage here at number three.
Taoying.
Muy bueno.
Do you have anything else to say?
You want
to
say anything?
I think we covered it all. And at the end of the movie, where Gene Hackman's dressed up in drag.
Oh, so good.
And he tells his driver, meet me at the corner of Collins and Fifth. He's like, not in your life, lady.
With the whole We Are Family. Oh my god, they're all dressed up. So good.
So good.
So good. Damn, that movie.
That movie still holds up.
Come on, yeah, dude.
And the guy in the club that's like hip thrusting
the mom
Diane Wiest,
there you go,
and he's like, I've never danced with a man before. He's like, this is the first time for everything.
You did like you my outfit? I'm a combination of Lucy and Ricky.
Did you just classic me?
Can you? No, no, no. It's fantastic.
It's a classic.
No, I love that movie, man. I really do. Like, I'm trying to think of what I'm trying. It's one of the very few movies, especially about the topic, mm-hmm. that you could still make nowadays, and the PC police wouldn't stop. Like, I'm thinking about like what that movie. Like, even the jokes that I had, like, again, that's how good that movie was. It didn't go for the cheap shots. It, you know what I mean? Dude, when you're talking about, cross-dressers and you're talking about in the 90s, you could have very easily gone, with the cheap laughs or whatever. And not that they didn't have any physical comedy.
That movie got backlash in the 90s for being so topical about the LGBT community and stuff like that. And
when he's talking to Nathan Lane, he's like, what do you think of the Dolphins? How do you think I feel? Betrayed? He's like, no, wrong.
It's fantastic, dude. But I love that movie. Talking about Robin Williams, I was watching Good Will Hunting a couple months ago.
Uh-huh.
Just randomly put it on. And like, again, one of my all-time favorite movies, Good Will Hunting. But my point is about Robin Williams. He did so well in that movie. I watched that movie and I forgot that he passed away. Like, that's how crazy.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I still have trouble.
I was watching Hook recently. That happened to me. I was like, fuck, he's gone.
I didn't remember he passed away until after the movie was over. And I was like, man, that guy's fucking great. What is he doing? Shit. Like, I caught myself, like, in the middle of a train of thought. I was like, oh, shit, that's right. Mm-hmm. That's how great that guy. Like, it still hits me. It still shakes me where I'm like, fuck, I can't believe that guy. Fuck, he's not here. Yep. All right, so.
So, number three.
My number three is Rise of the Planet of the Apes.
Good choice.
Let me tell you something. The original, I'm not going to say anything negative about the original, because it's considered a classic now. I remember watching that movie thinking, I guess I have to be there. I guess I have to be, like, I guess, you know what I mean? It's, I guess, one of those movies that you had to see when it first came out.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just like, whatever. Like, I like it. And I like the topic and the
concept.
Concept. There you go. Very much. Thank you. The concept and the twist. The twist is dope, right? Yeah. You know, at the end, the Statue of Liberty, it's fucking great.
Yeah.
But this version, dude, when I saw this version in the movie theater, I stood up.
But you're talking about the one James with Franco. James Franco, yeah. not the Mark Wahlberg.
Well, that's why I said Rise.
Okay. Yeah. Clear.
Yeah.
No. I know. I'm just because I didn't remember what the name of the Mark Wahlberg was. I think
Planet of the Apes gets a bad rap too. To be honest with you, it's not a great movie. It's nowhere near Rise of the Planet, but I think it gets a bad rap, you know, for whatever reason. But you know, I'm not saying it's a perfect movie.
I felt for Tim Burton in that movie because he tried his hardest not to Tim Burton up Planet of the Apes, and
he shouldn't have put Helen Bottom Carter. he should not put her in the fucking movie.
Yeah. I think he's in it. She in it, no?
Yes, that's my point.
That's what he's saying.
If you're trying to not Tim Burton the movie up, don't put the same actors you put in every fucking movie. That's what happens. You put
them in every. Well, he was married to her at the time, bro.
And it's weird that Johnny Depp was one of the monkeys.
Apes.
Charlton Heston's spoiler. Charlton Heston's one of the apes in the movie.
Yeah,
to do like a full circle thing. But
you know, Rise of the Planet.
Rise of the Planet Apes. I thought was so fantastic. Yeah. I love that movie. Every part of that movie was great.
And you believe that Caesar was real?
Yeah,
I really did, man. And then that scene with Caesar.
Uh-huh.
I was like, I literally said again. It was one of those, it was one of those giant man moments where I said, "Oh shit!" And the movie did it really loud. It caught me, dude. It caught me so like I did not expect that at all. I was like, I don't even know why I'm trying to not talk about it. Like I don't want to spoil it because it came out in fucking what year did it come out?
2008, I think, or 2000.
No, it was earlier than that. It was earlier. Rise of the Planet of Apes was like 2011. I think.
Maybe you're right.
Check.
Maybe you're right. Either way,
I got IMDb right now.
Either way, so I'm watching that movie, man, and I'm thinking, dude, it's so fantastic.
2011.
There you go. So yeah, dude, I just thought the movie was fantastic, and I like the Dawn of the Planet of the Apes. Mm-hmm. I still haven't seen it. Dawn of the Planet of the Apes. I still haven't seen. Like when I saw it, I was getting interrupted a lot. Like I was in a movie theater, but I was in a different city.
Okay.
And I was getting interrupted a lot. Like my wife, I remember she called me a couple of times. Things were happening with the kids, so I had to like leave the movie theater, come back. So I haven't sat down and you know. But I thought Rise was fantastic.
I can't knock you on that one. That was a good movie.
Yeah. It's the first movie I felt like, man, Andy Serkis actually really deserves an Oscar for his work.
That's the
besides
first one.
Besides Gollum.
Gollum didn't.
I mean,
do it for
Gollum and did do that for me, but like it made me consider, man, he's actually a badass actor. And then this movie was like, bro, why doesn't this guy have an Oscar yet? Like,
once they start giving it to people for mocap, it's going to be very. It's going to open a floodgate. What they're going to.
But
do,
it's not. It's not only mocap though, because he actually did the voices.
Yeah, he does the voices. Yeah, he again, does.
But it's a slippery slope. This is what the Academy is going to do. They're going to do what they did with animation. And they're going to make it its own category.
Yeah.
Best mocap category or whatever the hell they're going to phrase it. Mm-hmm. That's what they're going to do. That's what they did with best animation film, which is like my brother's a cartoonist. He was an illustrator, and he would get mad, and I understand his point of view. He said they gave the best animated film category to pacify the animators because a film is a film no matter what medium you shoot it in. It should still be a film, and there's only been two films that I can remember that have been nominated for best picture, two animated films that have been nominated, and Beauty and the Beast and and Toy Story 3. And when you think about it, you're like, yeah, no, those they should be in contention because that's how good those movies are. It's not like, oh, that's the best animated movie. Like, no, that's in contention for the best film that year, regardless of how.
Can you make me an argument?
So that's what they're going to do with mocap. They're going to do that. They're going to be like, best actor in a mocap. And that's what they're going to just do because it's going to be a slippery slope, bro.
Yep.
I feel you.
But anyways, Rise of the Planet of the Apes. I thought it was fantastic.
That's a good choice. I haven't hated anybody's pick yet. I think it's solid. We're
working
well. You give it time.
And I do think it's a better movie than the original, my opinion. That's just
I feel
I think it's different too because you're. I mean, when
different
the original,
generations maybe.
Yeah, because the original came out. It's the acting for that time period. You know what I mean? You get what I'm saying when I say that. Yeah, like Charlton Heston,
the action in that movie is amazing. In Rise,
I
bridge.
Oh my god, no, that whole thing, dude. Oh.
I really like the remake that they did on The Simpsons.
Dude,
Planet of the Apes.
Yeah. I was getting choked up.
With the gorilla?
With the orangutan? I was getting choked up with the whole thing when Caesar first went into the thing and he was getting beat up.
Yeah.
I was like, oh my. It made you feel for this animal that doesn't exist because it's fucking Andy Serkis. I was really, really. That whole movie has everything. Action. It has the feels. Catch the feels.
It's got the
and
feels.
It has the hottest fucking Indian chick on the fucking planet. Literally, she won like the hottest chick in India.
Was she the one from
Slumdog? Yeah, she's the one from Slumdog.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. She's the one that at the end of the Slumdog, she has a scar on her face because the guy.
Yeah.
That chick is bananas hot. Like,
I haven't seen Slumdog Millionaire.
Oh, good.
Yeah, no, I have to.
Good movie, yeah, yeah. Fantastic movie, yeah.
Oh, no, that's a different one, because I'm thinking about The Girl from Quantico.
No, what you mean, a different one? What do you mean by them? No, okay. All right, so what's your number two?
So my number two is a movie.
Oh, wait, number threes are Birdcage, The Fly, Birdcage, Rise of the Planet of the Apes.
My number two is a movie that anytime it's on TV, even though I know exactly what's going to happen, I need to stop and watch it because it is just overall so entertaining to watch.
The Replacements?
Ocean's 11.
Oh, it's good.
Table.
Ocean's 11.
Table.
Okay.
Another bit of geek news. They're doing an Ocean's 8 all-female cast. Sandra Bullock is George Clooney's character type of deal. Oh, it's Ocean's 8, and they have like everybody. Like, I think Helen Mirren's it. Like, they have like every
female Expendables.
Is ScarJo going to be in it?
I don't know. They haven't even. It's not even fully casted yet. But they like, the names that they have announced are like the big female names in there.
Well, I'll table because Jason's at the table.
All right. Okay. So Ocean's 11.
Yep.
Nice.
Better than 13. Okay. I like that whole series.
Man. I do. But I mean, Ocean's 11
was that 11.
That's great.
12 was.
No, I like 12 too.
That was at the
13
Fox,
was
right?
The one. The 13 kind of lost me with that whole Julia Roberts thing. That spin. That was 12, right?
That was 12.
Yeah,
that's love that. I thought that was brilliant.
Hilarious.
I thought that was too on the note. I'm like, oh, dude, come on, dude. You know, all right.
But I just thought it was great because the whole time they were like, man, she kind of does look like her.
Yeah.
If you
the way they played it off, yeah. But I mean, just that angle, I was like, whatever.
All right, well, we'll table it.
How much horseshit is in this town?
A lot.
In this fucking town of
world. In this non-old western town.
Jesus. Yes. The amount of horseshit.
So
truck upon truck.
Yeah, why are they moving so much horseshit in this town?
Ending up in cars.
And they and they never put a back lid.
Nope.
Put a back lid. That's illegal, dude. All right.
There's got to be some like sanction in Hilldale. Hey, you know a law of 242.8. No back lids on your manure, guys. Speaking of shit, guys, my number two. So my number two again.
Cobra.
I'm gonna go with again another body horror movie.
God, I wish it was Cobra.
God, that would have been so good.
If you would have said Cobra, I would have even double checked whether or not I would have
sold.
Yeah, sold. Great. Remake, reboot, whatever. You could have made that shit up. Oh, it's a reboot from a 1927 movie. Okay, I believe.
Yeah.
Just to have it on the list.
So this is probably the body horror movie of all time.
Mm-hmm.
Do I have to table this? Or
No.
It's the thing. The thing is...
That's what I thought your first one when you said body horror was.
I mean, I love The Fly. Both of them are body horror movies.
The Thing, what year?
1980. Because
there's been a couple of different ones.
The 80 one's not the remake. There's a 2011.
I'm not saying the 2011 one.
No, but that's...
But the 2000...
But the original's not a remake.
No, it is a remake. The Thing is from the movie called The Thing from Outer Space, which came out sometime in like the early 1900s.
Well, one moment, please, while we
I assure you.
Oh, The Thing from Another World.
Thank you. Oh, thank you. Whew. Okay.
You've had two strikes against you with not reading the rules properly.
Three, if you
include the Dark Knight trilogy bullshit you try to pull today. So, whatever.
It's just me.
If we back check.
It's just me. Did that almanac, like, catch on fire really quickly and just went up in smoke?
Yeah, well, in 2015, that was gigantic. Very, very flammable.
Yeah.
Very flammable in 2015.
Jesus Christ.
No worries. So it's one of my favorite movies of all time. I feel like it is the Kurt Russell movie. People argue me, you know, maybe Escape from New York or some other movies.
David is.
Yeah.
David is definitely yelling Escape from New York right now.
Whatever. I
say Overboard, but
Overboard is a great movie.
That's a great movie.
That's where him and Goldie Hawn met.
Big Trouble in Little China.
Big Trouble in Little China is another one. But I feel like the Kurt Russell, like his best performance.
Mountain. That's amazing. We did talk about this, right?
Yeah, we talked about
it. It's been amazing.
About doing a Kurt Russell mountain.
Yeah.
I love that guy.
Someone shot it down.
He was one of the first, like, original, like, Disney kid actors, actually. A lot of people know that.
He worked with Elvis.
Yeah. Guy's old.
Didn't we all?
No. Yeah, he's correct. The thing from.
I know I'm correct, but I just. Yeah. It's okay.
But wasn't the 2011 one good too?
Yeah,
the 2011 one's good.
I never saw. Again, this is horrible.
It's more of a prequel though. It's more of a prequel. It's more of a prequel to the 82 yes. version.
Oh, so
but it acts a lot. Like,
so it's like it'll be a part two because the outer space one is part one, right? So it's like a 1.5.
Yeah. All right. So it's again amazing practical effects. It's one of the best sci-fi movies ever.
The stomach scene.
Oh my god, stomach scene.
When the guy,
you want to talk about things that made me stay up?
Oh my god, that thing is fucking nightmare fuel. When the guy goes to put the paddles on the guy, and the guy's possessed by the thing, and when he goes down with the paddles, the stomach turns into a giant mouth
and eats his arms.
Eats his arms from like forearm down.
And then you think that's the worst, right? You think that's the worst you're gonna see. No, because they set the thing on fire, and then the fucking head gets ripped off and becomes its own alien.
Yep.
It is bananas, like scary. It's done by John Carpenter, one of the godfathers of horror movies. It's great. 1982 or 1981. It has a great like 80s soundtrack in the back, like it's dum-dum soundtrack. It's awesome. And it's Kurt Russell as Kurt Russelliest. It's just an awesome
movie. It's a great movie.
You can't go wrong. I mean, I understand it's a scary movie, but if you can get past it and the ugliness of it, it is a beautifully done movie.
And the thing is, it's not just them against the aliens. They're stuck in an Arctic outpost where they can't go anywhere.
I remember somebody told me about the 2011 version, right?
Right.
Something like they only had two bullets left. The guy only had one bullet left to use it on himself.
Right.
Yeah. And right when that happened, the military came by. Yeah. Like, oh.
Well, no, that's... The Mist.
I'm confusing it.
Yeah.
Which they're making into a TV show.
I don't know how. Go.
Geek News. This was the one. X-Men pilot TV series.
Oh, my God. Oh, right. Yeah, there you go. With MCU.
So, I'm sorry. I completely forgot. For those of you who don't know, the X-Men, Fox has greenlit a pilot for, has ordered.
A series.
It's a pilot. They ordered a pilot first.
Oh, okay.
They ordered a pilot for a X-Men TV series, and they're in cahoots with Marvel.
Yes.
Excellent. Yes. Maybe now they won't kill off mutants and fucking their
comics. Raul loves it.
Initiate order MCU. Going back to the thing. It's just a fucking awesome movie, and it's one of the movies that made me start falling in love with horror movies in general. So,
yep.
That's my number two.
I used to be into horror movies, man. You know, Freddy and Jason. No, I'm just saying, like, I'm thinking to myself, Freddy and Jason, and I used to endure the nightmares. I used to have nightmares, and then go back for more. And then one day I was just like, I don't want to do that anymore.
You know, it was a movie that put me over. It was Jaws. Because I love Jaws.
I don't see Jaws as a horror movie, though.
Some people do.
I see it as a suspense movie. I don't see it as a horror movie. Like, to me, there's a difference between suspense and horror. I think
it's a psychological horror movie. Because you don't see the shark until three quarters of the way into the movie.
Oh, you know, recently Spielberg said that if the shark would have been fixed, it would have not been the movie that it is.
I agree. Did you see that photo that they had of the alternate scene that they were going to shoot of when the kid gets eaten?
No.
You know when the kid's on... Do you remember when the kid's on the yellow raft?
Yeah, in the yellow raft.
The whole scene where the mom, everybody's running into the water and the mom's calling out for him. They had a shot, and it's fucking the most terrifying thing I've ever seen in my life. It's hit the kid in the water, and you just see the mechanical shark out, but you just see this giant fucking open mouth beast like 5 feet behind him, like about to devour him.
Oh.
And it's like it's in black and white. It's I'll look for it while he talks about the thing. But
the 80s in general did so much great work for horror movies that the thing is definitely one of the pillars of horror movies in general.
Here's what I think has watered down the horror genre since then, since those 80s, since the heyday, as you called it, as you inferred, is that now the movie studios just want to make more money, so they make everything PG.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not one of those like, oh, PG movies can be good, because yes, they can. There's a lot of PG movies and PG-13 movies that are excellent. But when it comes to horror, That's why suspense is different to me than horror. Like, suspense, I could watch. If you tell me, look, it's a suspense movie, I'll watch it, dude. Again, I'll get scared and blah, blah, but I'll watch it. But horror is a whole different ballgame. Horror is nightmare fuel, like you guys have been talking about. That's a whole different ballgame. I'm not going home thinking about the suspense, because once the reveal is open, the reveal, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. When you're watching a suspense movie, and oh, look at that scene. You should post that to the Geekmore Instagram. Right. So, yeah, that's what I'm... Like, so anyway, so yeah, the PG, the fact that it's a PG version, again, not that you can't make a good horror movie PG, I'm just saying, I think that's what, it's harder to make, because you can't, blood and da-da-da as well.
So. I'll tell you this, my the movie I think is the best video game movie is a horror movie, so.
There's a good video game movie.
Resident Evil?
No, one? Silent Hill.
Silent Hill
is actually a good movie and a good horror movie and a good video game movie.
All right, so what do you got for... all right, so that's number two for Raul. What's your number two?
My number two might be a little questionable. My number two is Jurassic World.
Okay. Jurassic
World. Really? You don't like it?
We like
it. Are you...
This is the...
Or is this...
Just to give a spoiler to David, I don't even know if he put this in his final list or not. David in the thread to the listener. I'm talking to the listener now.
Did I miss this?
He said, yeah, probably did. He said that his number. He said he had given a first draft of his list, and he said in no particular order, and he named his movies, and he said The Omen would be number one. Like, he flat out called his shot, and everybody was kind of shocked, especially Jeff being the horror guy. And Jeff was like, "That I could think of four other great horror movies that would be better than that as far as a remake or a reboot than The Omen." Not trashing The Omen, but that.
Yeah, the 2011 Omen.
That 2011 Omen, right. So that's why I have the same mentality. The reason I bring this up is I have the same mentality towards Jurassic World. I thought it was a good movie. I thought it was a lot... Crazy. That's one of those movies when people go, oh, I've been using the word fun to describe a movie recently in the last couple of years because of like movies like Ant-Man and movies like Jurassic World. Because I had fun in that movie. Like, I would watch.
Yeah.
You know, I got over, like, a lot of people couldn't get over certain little bullshit, little aspects of like, oh, que paquete, that's so much bullshit, you know, whatever. And I'm totally, dude, I'm suspended in disbelief. There's dinosaurs. I'm fucking you have.
Fucking dinosaurs.
Do whatever you're going to do at this point. I don't give a shit. Nothing. I'm not basing anything on realism. But, again, I just think that there's a lot. There's better movies on your list so far. There's been better movies.
Well, this was my number three. I just switched it because I just gave the birdcage. But I mean, I really, like you said, it was a fun movie. I mean,
super fun.
The fact that what's her name?
Bryce Dallas Howard.
Yeah, Bryce Dallas Howard is going through the fucking jungle in heels and skirt and everything.
I heard a girl from
my jungle.
I heard a lady, O'Hara, Helen O'Hara, which is a movie critic, film critic from the Empire magazine. On the Empire magazine, she said, you know, everybody gives the whole heels thing shit. And yes, I would have probably taken off my heels too, her as a woman. She goes, but it is easier to run in heels than to walk in heels. Because when you're running on
the front of your feet.
And so you're not really running on the heel part. And she did acknowledge. She did say, look, yes, I would have had that been me in real life. Of course, I'm taking off the heels. But when people say, oh, she's running in heels, actually, it's easier to run in heels than it is to walk. Again, we're four dudes here. I haven't worn heels in probably months. So
since Thursday.
I would have gone last Saturday.
Right. So then there you go. But yeah.
Go ahead. I don't know. I just really enjoyed the movie, like you said. I thought it brought up new different aspects. It wasn't just the, you know, oh, everyone, you know, get in a Jeep and, you know, drive around in the Jeep. There were actual, like, different kind of rides that were going on in the park. It was an actual theme park
and the
kind
of thing. And Margaritaville?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
You know, there was a fucking Margaritaville.
Do you know that Jimmy Buffett makes a cameo in that?
Yeah, he gets attacked by a pterodactyl, by little pterodactyls, doesn't he?
Yeah. But, I mean, there's multiple dinosaurs. There's... It's like a complete, like, it is a Jurassic World, and it's not just a little park and, oh, look, you know, we're driving around in little, you know, Jeeps.
Little gyrosphere balls.
Yeah, the gyrosphere balls, but even then, like, the stupid little ride that, you know.
Yeah, yeah. Like, I think what Neri was saying before, I'm not going to take anything away from it. I just think that, at least for me, there's other remakes that I'd put above that, but that's a great remake.
Yeah.
Reboot. Sorry. But I'm not going to knock you for it because that's a great... I enjoyed that movie. It was a fun movie.
Honestly, the only...
And Dreamboat's in it, so it doesn't matter. Chris Pratt.
Oh, I was like, oh, the white Portuguese?
Google it.
World's Greatest Detective. Jurassic World. I mean, dude, again, great movie, great pick. It made my top 10. I don't even... I think it made my top 10 last year from the on the What's Up Bro podcast.
Yeah, it did.
Yeah, right? I think, yes. I'm pretty sure. I know. Yeah, I think it did. Anyway, so I like the movie. I liked it a lot. I just, it's a very, oh, shit.
Uh-oh.
Fucking remembered.
Oh, Jesus.
Oh, boy.
I just remembered a reboot that I fucking.
Oh, Jesus.
How high can you go? Right.
Ooh.
Well, so, okay, here's the thing.
So what's
here's the thing, Neri.
So what's your number two?
Yeah, what's your number two, Pookie?
Oh, Jesus. I just thought of that right now.
And I think I know what you're talking about.
Jaws the Revenge?
I'm going to... Look, man. This
here
is
we
so
go.
Tough because now I got to get rid of another one. Because I just remember one more that's going to be my number one.
Uh-oh.
I'm going to go... I'm going to go... My number two is going to be Man of Steel.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
So number one's got to be legit.
Flying up the charts.
Yeah. So after we're talking about Man of Steel, we'll talk about Batman Begins, because Batman Begins just got bumped off my list. Totally inadvertently. Again, it had... Whatever. All right. I'm telling you, this is the toughest list I've ever done. I've never felt regret over a list that
I
had.
Yeah, it's true.
No, yeah.
You've never done this.
Knocking out the good DC movies for a
Now, you know how
one.
I feel Woo! Every week when I'm like, I have seven good choices.
Now you know how I felt last week.
I started off with seven good choices, and now I just remembered about another one.
Yeah.
So
this is how I felt last week, and you're laughing.
Yeah, because I just couldn't believe that there was that many good 80s cartoons. I'm sorry. I just couldn't believe that. All right, so Man of Steel. I'll let you talk about Batman Begins. And I love Batman Begins. Again, it was going to be my number two. But Man of Steel, I honestly don't understand people's dislike for that movie. And I've never really met somebody who hated that movie. I've met people who hated Batman vs. Superman. Right. I've never really met somebody who hated Man of Steel, but I have met a lot of people. I haven't met anybody who hated Man of Steel, but they disliked it. And I don't, I just don't comprehend. It doesn't, like, every time they talk to me about it, I'm like, Like, they give me, like, the crazy, like, the dumbest things. Like, why is Lois Lane, in Antarctica? I'm like, because she's a reporter. Like, I don't understand the shit that bothers people about this movie. It's beyond me. But I love this fucking movie. I went to see it. I had the movie poster framed in my house. I went to see it in the movie theater 5 times. there wasn't even a special movie ticket. Like I went out and bought 5 fucking movie tickets. I love that movie so much. It brought back, again, Superman is my favorite superhero of all time. So yes, I do have some bipartisan something there. But I love that movie. I thought it was a great issue number zero for Superman, because people had an issue with him killing. The people who have an issue with him killing aren't real comic book readers, because Superman kills in the fucking comics often. Like, he kills a lot of aliens. Like, there's a lot of like characters that don't really matter, but he kills them. And yeah, so was I disappointed that he killed Zod at the end? Yes, only because I love Zod. The guy who played him was so fucking fantastic. Michael Shannon was so great that I wanted him to come back for the second part. I was like, I need Michael Shannon. I need more Michael Shannon in my life. kind of did, yeah. So, but I'm like, again, so the problems that people had with this movie, I just couldn't, like, oh, he doesn't kill. Yes, he does. He does kill.
Yeah.
I don't understand. I don't know if you know this. So, but I love this movie so much. I thought it was a great issue zero. It didn't explore... it did explore Clark's humanity. The one tiff that I have about this movie, like real tiff that I have about this movie, is when Pa Kent tells him, well, maybe you should have let them die. Like, no.
Yeah.
Stop. That's not Pa Kent. Like, that's a very huge character. Like, he gets his Boy Scout
from his dad.
Morale from his parents, specifically his dad. And his dad, Pa Kent, would never say...
To let people die.
And he didn't. People go, oh, Pa Kent told him to kill those people. No, he didn't.
No.
He suggested that maybe he should have let them die.
It was a difference. Really a philosophical exploration there.
Yes.
It was really him being a good father, like, should I let my child, who's not really my child, but I treat him, he's my child, should I let him be revealed to the world in this small moment and let him be prosecuted for what he is. And I understand, even though some people feel like that's a shitty moment, I feel I like know, I enjoy that moment.
I don't know if it's a shitty moment. I don't say it's a shitty moment. I say it should have been explored further. I feel that like it should have been explained further. Like what the explanation you just gave, like there should have been a scene of Paul Kent with Ma Kent saying, I don't know if I gave him good advice. I'm just worried about him. I'm worried about like that should have been explained. And that deeper character, you know, digging that scene where he's like, that should have been one of those scenes where he's not only finding out Paul Kent, not only finding out more about himself in that scene, about his parenting. It should that the scene of him explaining that or him wondering that out loud. Should did I give him bad advice? Or that is a scene that I needed.
You mean that they left out like 2 minutes of important information? Yeah. That
it's actually in the director's cut.
No, but I don't know why it gets all that grief.
I will tell you this. The first
we're about to hear why it gets all that grief.
There we go. The first half of Man of Steel is everything I ever wanted.
That whole scene in Krypton, God, fuck.
It's again, the first half.
Russell Crowe.
The whole him being a nomad and saving people, but he doesn't know if he should be like out and about and stuff like that. I love everything.
There's rumors that in that scene with the oil rig, that he got saved by Aquaman.
Yes, because of the whales.
Yeah, because of the whales. Because of the whales.
Oh, that's true.
You hear the whales, and he's just laying there, and you see the whales, and and you hear them. There are rumors that we may get a little.
That'd be cool.
I would jizz all over the fucking movie theater. Just fucking.
It'd be great.
Again.
Yeah, well, yeah.
The second half of that movie turns into Matrix Part 3, but whatever.
Yeah, and that's the other thing. Oh, it's too violent. Oh, it's too much damage. I'm like, dude, do you realize, like, this is the thing, like, when I remember watching Superman Returns, which at that time I loved. I did love Superman Returns. I would defend Superman Returns all the time, endlessly to people. People would be like, it's not enough fighting. I'm like, well, Lex Luthor is more of a psychological guy, and da-da-da, and there's not enough action sequences, and I would defend Superman Returns all the time. And then I saw Man of Steel, and I was like, oh, Superman Returns, yeah, you're a piece of shit. Like, it was like one of those things where and people got mad at Man of Steel when all that damage and all the casualties, and I'm like, do you realize what would happen if two gods fought on Earth? Do you realize that?
It's
not going to be the Christopher Reeves. And first of all, Christopher Reeves Superman was already a polished Superman. He already had been Superman for years.
So he knew how to play the game.
So he knew what to, like, you know what I mean? And that's why I said it's a great issue zero. Like, if you look at any comic book, if you read issue zero of comic books, that's when they learn how to do whatever they do. That's usually the issue where they get their powers or blah, blah, blah. Right. I think it's a great issue zero, Man of Steel. Yes, was there a lot of collateral damage? Yeah, but that is what would happen if they fucking, if two gods fought on Earth. Like, and not only two gods, it was like five of them at one point. Like, that's what would happen. Like, do you think their punches would be contained to a certain street or a certain, like, they fly around the world beating each other's ass. I think that was fantastic. And that scene where he finally learns to fly, you don't get a fucking hard on off that, bro. Come on, man. That's fucking great, dude. It's stunning. That shit where the ground starts shaking and the fucking rocks start levitating. And, like,
it's actually, also the score. Hans Zimmer's score that movie is really good.
The best, dude. He's
is really, really good. To piggyback off Neri,
Batman.
Man of Steel wouldn't have happened if The Dark Knight didn't happen. And Batman Begins is a great movie. It's a great relaunch of the story of Batman and Bruce Wayne.
I love that movie so much. Yeah. When that movie came, when I first saw Batman Begins, when I was telling everybody this is the best superhero movie of all time, and I was a fan of X-Men, I was a fan of X, and people would be like, oh, Spider-Man 2, and I'm like, kiss my ass, dude. Don't you ever in your fate, don't you ever in your life talk to me about Spider-Man 2 when I'm talking about Batman Begins.
Spider-Man 2.
I love Batman Begins.
It's a great movie.
What are you talking about, Spider-Man 2?
Spider-Man 2 is really good.
The Doc Ock.
Spider-Man 2.
See what I'm talking about?
It's probably still my favorite Spider-Man movie, but
I don't, you see what I'm
talking about? I blocked them out. I literally blocked. I was like,
Jason Herter was Velma is way hotter than
that.
The hell is happening?
Oh, you got it.
It happened in a classic.
So, Batman Begins is a great movie. Liam Neeson. Christian Bale.
With a great villain.
A great villain.
Like the fact that you're starting off, because normally, let's be real, It's if you're going to reboot the Batman series, mm-hmm. you're going to go straight to Joker, right? Right. That's what, yeah. And the yeah. fact that Nolan didn't do that, the fact that he's like, no, let's talk about Ra's al Ghul, which yeah. nobody's ever talked about in any other cinematic version beforehand. I was like, great pick,
the power
dude.
Of Ra's al Ghul.
Great choice, dude. Yeah. I love that. Yeah. About, good decision.
Also introducing the crow.
Yeah, the scarecrow.
The scarecrow. Oh.
It's great.
Did you know that Christopher Nolan, the actor that they casted for Scarecrow, mm-hmm. Christopher Nolan loved his eyes so much. Like his piercing, I forget whether blue or green, whatever mm-hmm. they were, but he loved his eyes so much that he asked the actor to take off his glasses as much as possible,
so you could see.
So you could see his eyes, because he mm-hmm. was like, he was like mesmerized whenever he would do a reading.
Yeah,
and he was like, "You got to take off your glasses, Murphy, man. You got to."
Cillian Murphy,
yeah, yeah, it's fantastic.
It's great, and it's a great movie. It's a movie you can watch over and over again. And it's a great story, and that's all I got. For
and that. It's the I think that's my favorite one of the Batman of the new Batman trilogy. Mm-hmm. It's my favorite one. It's the one that has a hot chick. It's the one that has a chick that's believable that I'm fighting over, because I'm not fighting over Maggie Gyllenhaal. But I love Batman Begins. It's the one that has the least amount of Batman in it, which means the least amount of Batman shit voice, mm-hmm. which means the better chance of a great movie. And I loved everything about that movie.
Joker,
that whole fight, the whole practice training scene
yeah.
on
yeah.
the ice.
Oh, great.
Fantastic, dude. I loved everything about it. Who was that kid? There was news, right? That kid that he gave.
It's Joffrey from Game of Thrones.
That's yep, what it is. Joffrey. Right. So now, don't like knowing that, I'm like, fuck, you should let that kid die. I fucking hate Joffrey, dude. But yeah, it's fantastic, dude. I love the fact
that, you know, he's being trained by Ra's al Ghul at the beginning, and then like a twist at the end. I mean, if you know Batman, you know Batman, and you know that Ra's al Ghul is
immortal.
Well, not only that, not just immortal, but both, you know, a friend and an enemy yeah. to Batman. So, I mean, just
it's a very complex relationship, right?
Yeah.
They did a great job, man.
They did.
Yeah, they did.
Job. I love that movie. Job, every movie in the series got a little bit weaker and weaker, in my opinion. And it just got.
Part three was really derailed by the death of Heath Ledger.
You know, people say that, but you had a giant picture of what's his name?
Harvey Dent.
Of Harvey Dent. You could have had a giant picture. You could have had a picture, not giant. Obviously, you're not gonna fucking immortalize a Joker in that city. Mm-hmm. But you could have had a reference. They didn't even mention his name. They didn't even mention the Joker. Yeah. Like, that's crazy talk to me. That's insulting to like the memory of a fantastic actor and a fantastic performance. And an iconic fucking character, dude. That's the iconic character in the Batman universe. Yep. And you're not even gonna mention the Joker. You're not even gonna mention the fucking name Joker. Yep. Come on, dude.
Yeah.
But so, anyways, all right. So that's my number two. So and again, that was what was that? Your number?
That was my number four.
Number four. Yeah. Wow, that's a
oof.
Wow.
Hey, it's on here. It's on.
It's on there.
You're right. So Man of Steel. So number fours are Ocean's 11.
Number twos.
I'm sorry. Number twos. I apologize. I got confused. Number twos are Ocean's 11, The Thing from 82, Jurassic World, and Man of Steel. All right. So what are honorable mentions?
David would like for us to mention his mountain.
Oh, yeah.
So David, just for you, we're going to say my mountain. Is number four Dread, number three A Fistful of Dollars, number two The Birdcage. His honorable mention was The Omen, Conan the Barbarian, Scarface, Dick Tracy, and his number one is Casino Royale.
How many honorable mentions is that?
Four.
Okay. What were they again?
Yeah, I have five.
The Omen, Conan O'Brien
when he went to TBS. Fantastic reboot.
Yeah, amazing reboot.
That was the best reboot
so
ever.
So good.
We're just going to keep it as Conan O'Brien now. Yeah. Scarface and Dick Tracy.
Scarface is a really overrated movie, man.
Yep.
In my opinion. But
I agree with it.
Sometimes you got to push it to the limit, my friend.
Push it to the limit.
The limit.
Walk along the razor's edge. Push it to the limit. What a great soundtrack.
Go ahead, Jeff.
All right, my honorable mentions.
Facebook.
Casino Royale. Mad Max Fury Road. Star Trek. Then I put the Magnificent Seven from 1960 because a new one's coming out now, but it's a remake of a Kurosawa film.
Table.
Okay, oh, he just pulled adjacent. Oh.
Is it? I have never done that though.
Yeah,
but
wait. Remember,
continue.
Go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
You pretend like you don't have it on your list.
Yep, that's right. I'm sorry.
But I'll just say the Magnificent Seven, and there's this. I didn't put The Thing or The Fly. There's this horror movie called
The Thing or The Fly.
No, it's called Let Me In.
Oh, so good.
It's a remake of a Swedish film called Let the Right One In. It's a kid who's a bullied kid that befriends a vampire, a little girl who's a vampire, and she like kills.
Isn't
people
that Warm Bodies?
No, that's dummies.
But yeah, so I put Let Me In because it's a really the remake stars Chloe.
Chloe Grace Moretz.
She's a vampire.
And Elias Koteas.
But it's really a cool movie.
You say
movie.
Hit girl, I say Ariel, whatever.
But yeah, that's mine.
Facebook, Carlos Neverett says Batman Begins, Casino Royale, J.J. Abrams Star Trek, The Departed, and his honorable mentions are The Ring, Mad Max Fury Road, Ocean's 11, and Dread.
Man, yeah. The Star Trek's getting a lot of love.
Departed, yeah, it's because it's in recent people's memory, man. The Departed is the one where I was like, that's a remake? I had no idea it was a remake. Yeah. It's one of the best films of all time, in my opinion. I love that fucking movie. One of the best opening lines. I love that movie, but whatever. I don't even want to talk about it right now. Maybe later.
It's so good that I don't even want to talk about it right now.
It's so fantastic. My honorable mentions.
Jeff, your water is right here.
I am coughing. My honorable mentions are Batman Begins, which wasn't on my list until 10 minutes ago. Dread. RoboCop, and when we first finalized, okay, this is what the topic is gonna be, my immediate decision was the A-Team.
Oh, the A-Team, so good.
I fucking
so good,
love
the new one.
The A-Team.
I watched it the other day.
I bought it. I have it on Blu-ray.
You
know, I had it before. I had it already.
That was perfect casting.
Dude, everything about that movie is so fucking fantastic. It's so good.
Bradley Cooper's face.
It bothers me. Like, this is one of the movies, this along with RoboCop as well. It bothers me, but RoboCop is more of a flawed movie than A-Team. A-Team, I can't find a flaw in that movie.
Yeah.
RoboCop, I could find some flaws. Yeah. But I still love it. But it bothers me that they're not making a sequel to A-Team.
Yes.
It bothers me.
I agree with you.
Because I'm like... This is like prime for more movies, dude. Mm-hmm. I love that. Everything about Jessica Biel in that movie.
Yeah.
Oh, fuck.
Talk about Biel. Oh, yeah.
And that's
a fun movie.
It's a fun fucking movie. It has that Ocean's 11-esque twist. It has that, you know, at the end where they do the reveal and the blah, blah.
And when they show how he does the plans, like when they steal that cargo.
Yes.
And the thing, like, that they're showing him as he's making the plan.
Yes.
How they get the stuff.
It's so fucking
and
great.
How they show how B.A. Baracus becomes terrified of flying.
Yes. Oh my god. And I was a paratrooper. One mission with him, one flight with him. And I love the fact that they talk him up. You know, they talk up the, like, what's your name? Jessica Biel goes, look, I'll never tell these guys to their face, but they're the best at what they do, and they specialize in the impossible. Just that, I'm like, oh, dude, that got me like, oh, like, that got my
fucking killer.
That got my 1980s fucking male macho like hormone. Like, let's do that shit.
Yeah.
I fucking love the A-Team. I can't. It bothers me.
It's steroids in a movie. Steroids in a movie.
Yeah, dude. when this topic, this was the one when I was like, oh, TV movies, right? TV, blah blah, and we were talking about this in the third. I'm like, well, I'm doing TV. I don't give a shit. This is the movie I was talking about. And then Jason goes, don't worry about it. You can still do 21 Jump Street. And I was like, oh, shit. So now I went, and then literally at the very last second, when they go, oh, what's your number four? In my mind, I did a mental flip of the coin, and the only reason I went with 21 Jump Street over the A-Team, not that the only reason I went with that movie at all, but the only one I picked it over the A-Team is because it was a comedy and everything else in my
But you see, list. I would have flopped because I laughed my ass off in A-Team too.
Yes, but it's not, but come on.
I know, no. Don't get me wrong. 21 Jump Street, again, not, like you said, not taking away, but A-Team as a whole, bro, movie.
So good.
I'm telling you, my cable was out the other day, and that's the first Blu-ray I went to.
Did you like that movie?
Yeah, Sharpto Copley. No, Sharpto Copley plays he's actually one of my like favorite like underrated actors. I love that guy.
Did you say your honorable mention?
No, right. I don't think
the prison breakout scenes. Oh,
that was good,
dude. Mm-hmm. Come on, man.
Tank.
I'm telling you, it was fucking great.
So my honorable mentions are Departed, 3:10 to Yuma. I'm surprised none of you guys mentioned
it. Dude, I love 3:10 to Yuma, love but that. I never saw the original it's one. Action, so I always that's another thing that I felt weird. Picking a movie that I'd never seen the original, you know what I mean? Like, not that you can't do it because it wasn't one of the requirements. But I'm like, oh, okay. But from what I hear, 3:10 to Yuma, the original one was dope.
Yeah.
Okay, this one.
Like, it's my favorite Christian Bale movie. No,
you know what I love about this one? What I love about Christian Bale in this one? He doesn't do a shitty voice. Love it. I can understand what he's saying. It's amazing how good of an actor he is.
He doesn't speak that much in this movie either.
That's even better.
And it solidified, like, man, Russell Crowe's a fucking great. Like, everything he does.
It's
fantastic. Like, he barely makes bad decisions sometimes. I think.
Yeah.
Can we need table Dredd, or should we talk about Dredd a little bit? Because I think.
I should Dredd. Oh, that was did I mention that one in my honorable mentions?
No, I know.
Yeah. Diamond Begins, Dredd, RoboCop, and A-Team.
Because Dredd is really fucking good.
So good.
I thought it was gonna be a crap movie because they were just Judge Dredd's not that great, and I thought they made this one really low budget. But oh, such
Carl
a good,
Urban, so good as Dredd.
Carl Urban, Lena Headey. Oh my god, it's awesome, awesome freaking
movie. And Ma,
that whole dude,
the slow mo.
Ah, dude,
my only gripe with that movie is that they didn't need Dredd. They just should have just sent her the psychic girl in, and she would have killed everybody.
No,
she didn't know how to control.
Yeah, but just like, when she got that, it's like, okay, Dredd, you can go home. I got this. Everybody blows their heads up. All right, cool, sweet.
All right,
let's go.
What's the next case?
Yeah, I got it. Actually, never mind. I already know.
I got it.
And that guy's dead.
That's been girl. Give me a month. I'll clean the city up right away.
A month?
Well, I need some time, you know?
Time. I need some rest.
Oh, man.
Yeah, Judge Dredd is fantastic.
It's fucking so awesome.
Good. I love that movie.
Great movie.
I got The Departed, The Ring, Fantastic Four, and Casino Royale.
Which Fantastic Four?
The new one. The one that you've been talking about. The one that you've been talking
about. Jason, if you go back to the episode where Jason was bad-mouthing this movie without seeing it yet, and I was the only one saying, bro, just wait till you see it and then make a determination. Please wait till you see it. I will tell you, Fantastic Four is the movie for me because I've said things like, oh, that movie's going to suck. I've said those things before without even watching it. But I've never gone like on the internet and fucking made a video and like, blah, blah, and be like, you know, fucking pitching my fork. But Fantastic Four, I thought was going to be hot garbage. And when I first saw the first trailer, it actually piqued my interest. And I was like, oh, okay. And it's that Fantastic Four is the movie that got me with my new mentality of don't judge shit until you see it. I can still say things like I'm not interested in seeing it, but I'm not saying I no longer say it's going to be a piece of shit. I'm so wow! Look at you,
All right, I've matured.
Take that, Eric De Silva. Hater. All right. So we got number ones.
Eric De Silva doesn't listen to this stuff.
It's weird. My number one is The Departed.
What?
Wow.
Shocker.
Wow.
Wild card.
M. Night Shyamalan the hell out of that one. Man. I didn't expect what? That.
That card must have been overturned on the table somewhere.
I'm taking it that's your number one now, too?
No.
No? Oh, okay. I thought, that's not the
why
one.
Why would I talk about that movie in my honorable mentions?
Oh, you mentioned it in your honorable mentions. Never mind.
No, somebody else mentioned it in their list. I think Carlos
Carlos and I think David, too.
Yeah, it's a remake of Infernal Affairs, which is an awesome movie also. Yeah.
I never knew it was in it. I think it's one of the, when I first saw Departed, I said, this is Scorsese's best movie since Goodfellas. Like, I was like, and that to me is high praise because I fucking love Goodfellas.
The movie is fucking glorious. I mean, and the cast, I mean, you got DiCaprio, you got Damon, Jack Nicholson, Mark Wahlberg.
I really believe that Damon got shafted by not getting nominated. The fact that Mark Wahlberg got nominated for the seven lines that he had in that movie, and dude, Matt Damon. Look, I'm a guy that loves Good Will Hunting, and I'll put this performance of his up against his performance of Good Will Hunting. He is so good in this movie.
Yeah.
Oh, dude.
And because the thing is, you got DiCaprio as the cop going into the mafia, and you got Damon as the mafia guy going into the police department.
So good.
And they have Nicholson. And then it's them towing that line of both roles, which it's very similar to the remake. The scene in the remake, though, it's a triad. It's a Chinese film. It's a triad member and a police officer.
Yeah.
Same premise, basically the same idea. Before they graduate the academy, they get kicked out. He becomes he goes into jail. Blah blah blah.
But that line. I just love that line. Well, two lines. One, when he says, when Matt Damon turns to his girl and goes, "Hey, if you don't want to be in this, you're gonna have to end it because I'm Irish and I know how to live with unhappiness." Like, yeah. Something along those lines. I'm paraphrasing, but I was like, "Oh shit!" Like that's one of those things where he's like, "You're gonna have to end it because I'm not."
And can we talk about Nicholson as Frank Costello?
Oh, it's great.
That's what I'm gonna tell you. That's the other line. That's one of the best opening lines to a movie ever. When he goes, "I don't want to be a product of my environment. I want my environment to be a product of me." I was like, "Oh, my God, that is a fucking movie quote to live by, yeah, bro." Did you ever like, oh?
And I mean, and the thing is, like, they based him loosely off of Whitey Bulger.
Yeah. Yes,
and it was like, you know, so it's such a fucking good movie.
You know what's another thing about that movie that's awesome, and it's a testament to this actor. This is the second movie I've seen Alec Baldwin come in for 10 minutes fucking just take over fucking scene.
Yes.
And it's amazing.
Him and Martin Sheen. Martin
Sheen. Both of them.
Martin Sheen. I was saying. I was like, there was someone else. Yeah, Martin Sheen.
Yeah, because Martin Sheen was the police chief.
Chief. Or whatever.
But, it's an amazing movie. It's got twists. It's got turns. It's got brilliant acting. Like, it's the only remake of a foreign film to win an Academy Award for Best Picture.
And how does Leo not get?
Yeah, that's the one he should have fucking won.
That's
for.
The one. Yeah.
He should have won for that one. He should have won for Wolf of Wall Street.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, dude. That guy's amazing.
But yeah,
Wolf of Wall Street, Shutter Island, bro.
Shutter Island
blows my mind.
That one's crazy.
One of those movies though that you can only watch it once. At least for me, it's a beautiful, it's a brilliant movie.
You know,
it's one of those like.
It's been long enough that I could watch it again and still be.
I can probably watch it like multiple times.
I don't remember enough about it.
Yeah,
like, you know that. Yeah, but
well, we were saying that about Usual Suspects. We showed Raul and I the other day. Last time you guys were here, you weren't here, Jeff. But you guys left.
David told me he had never seen it.
He had never seen it. We stayed and watched it. And it was one of those things where he told us that the ending was ruined. The twist was ruined for him, and I was like, I think it's that good of a movie
that you could still
matter. That you
yeah. Even yeah, he told you know, me that it was like
fantastic, dude. But yeah, all right.
But yeah, but so Departed is my number one.
I think that movie is amazing. Fantastic. I would have put it in my honorable mention, but I don't do more than four because that's ridiculous and stupid.
I think it's interesting. He has little isotopes on his.
Yeah, I know, right? Yeah.
Just Back to the Future that. 3, people. We're watching.
Oh, sorry.
Back to Future 3.
Sorry, we switched movies.
Robo, number one.
So my number one,
I wonder
is,
what it is.
A little ditty that starred Charles Bronson, Steve McQueen. Hold on. Oh my God, I have the whole.
What did he know to get a fucking
James Corbett
or something to collect the gas?
Then there's a bear.
There's a bear.
Oh, right.
James Colburn.
Well, you're not going to stick around. You have an arrow in your hand, buddy. Use the fucking arrow.
Yeah.
Sorry, okay.
Yul Brynner. It's Magnificent Seven. The Magnificent Seven, you might be wondering, some of your viewers, I'm not talking about the 2016 version that's going to be coming out shortly.
Well, it's not, and we wouldn't put it past you.
Before.
Yeah, if it was Marvel's The Magnificent Seven, you would.
Oh, yeah. Everywhere. Jizz everywhere. So I'm talking about the 1960s version. I actually saw it recently again on the. You can see all these shows.
But what was that? What was the original?
The original is the trick here, because people think that is original on its own. It's not. It's based on another movie.
This is your second movie like this on your list.
Well, it's an honorable mention.
The thing from outer space or whatever, and so now this is your second.
No, but this is even to another level.
This is why I love.
It's not an American.
Our
film.
Title, The Redos, as well, kind of, because it's based off a 1954 Japanese movie called Seven Samurai, which is an Akira Kurosawa film. If you guys are into filmmaking or director stuff,
you've seen
Akira Kurosawa is like one of the fucking greatest directors of all time.
Yep,
the way he uses shading. Huh?
I love his drink, the blue Curacao.
It's a great movie. Again, it's the same premise I see in many movies like 300 and other movies, where it's a small band of these ragtag people going up against this large militia army to save a city or a town.
In Seven Samurai, they were protecting farmers.
Yeah, protecting farmers from these Ronin.
Yeah.
It's a great
47 of them.
No, it's not 47. Yes, even though 47 Ronin is based off a true story, but no one ever talks about that. And I wish the movie did more justice because
the movie was shit.
The movie was
was bad.
The movie's not bad.
Maybe because I wasn't expecting anything. It's a Keanu Reeves movie. I'm like, no, I'm fine. Let's roll with this. Whatever.
I was hoping that he would start stabbing the air and scream, like laying on his back.
What was that reference
to? Point Break. Point Break.
Oh, Point Break.
Got it. I get it. All right.
So,
Magnificent. That was funny. I missed it. I missed that reference. All right.
Magnificent Seven is the American translation of it, and they got a freaking all-star cast. Again, Charles Bronson when he was super young, Steve McQueen,
Is there a rape scene?
You beat him. I was waiting for a break. I didn't want to interrupt him, but
no, I just heard Charles Bronson. I'm like, well,
there's obviously a rape scene in this.
It's a great movie.
I want another question. I want another answer. Is there a rape scene in the movie?
I mean,
I don't remember.
I mean, there are douchebag guys in this that would do stuff like that, but I don't think you show it in a 1960s movie.
Damn. Well, they did it in the 70s. So,
so
where's the cutoff?
Magnificent Seven is a great movie, and it also translates to even anime because in the future they made an anime called Seven Samurai, which is based off Samurai Seven, is based in like a future time and it's an anime. But number one definitely is Magnificent Seven. It's a great movie, great Western. It's up there with like Fistful of Dollars, with 310 to Yuma. It's a great, great fucking Western.
I'm proud of you because I thought you were going to put True Grit.
Oh, I was never.
You know, it's funny. In doing research for this topic,
that was number one all over the place.
All over the place. Oh, yeah. True Grit made number one all over the place.
My dad physically got upset when he saw the because he loved the original, and he was like, "This is fucking garbage."
You know why? Because it's directed by the Coen brothers, and the Coen brothers are beloved by Hollywood, and also has Jeff
Bridges.
I don't
think it's a bad movie.
It's not.
But I never saw the original, so
I think because my dad's heart was in the original from when
it really. What bothered me is that the little girl got nominated for Best Supporting Actress. Here's why that bothered me. There's no other actress in that fucking movie.
She should have been best actress.
Yeah.
What the fuck made her supporting actress? I don't understand.
Well, because she's supporting to the others.
But she's the main actress.
Yeah.
I guess.
If you're already separating gender, like Chris Rock said, there's no real reason to separate female gender categories in acting. A woman could act as well or better than a man, and it shouldn't be an issue. But our society, we can't do that.
I guess.
And even though number seven is my number one, I would definitely put like 310 to Yuma as a way better Western remake than
Is Unforgiven a remake?
Unforgiven's not. No, Unforgiven's the original story, and I fucking love Unforgiven.
Love that movie. That's my favorite Western.
And I love... My favorite Western is Good, Bad, and Ugly.
Blazing Saddles.
Blazing Saddles, some people.
We're watching the best Western.
Yeah. Anybody ironically. Else find it weird that Marty McFly's great grandmother looks exactly like
his mom? Just fucking thinking that when
like, isn't
were
that
talking.
Weird that his family always marries the same? Like, are they inbreds, dude? Are they just marrying the same family over and over?
I did not want to say anything.
I always found that weird. I'm like, wait a minute, that's his great grandmother?
Yeah,
well, it's just like his mom.
Well, the McFlys and the Baines, you know, they have a long history with each other.
Yeah, apparently so. They barter each other off. Oh. All right, great pick. I'm assuming great pick because I haven't seen the movie, but
it's always on Turner Classic Movies.
Jason, what's your number one?
My number one is Ocean's 11.
Nice. Hold on, Raul, what was yours?
Magnificent Seven.
Magnificent Seven. All right.
As Jeff has stated earlier, I think it's a great movie, and it really like takes that whole. What's the word I'm looking for here? Heist twisting genre, and really like kind of like gives it like a comedic feel to it, kind of also. And I don't know, I just all the great actors that it has in it.
That cast is fucking absurd.
Yeah. Amazing. I mean,
Brad Pitt, George Clooney, Matt Damon,
Don Cheadle,
Lee
Garcia, Bernie Mac, Julie Roberts. Bernie Mac.
Elliot Gould.
Andy Garcia, because he was...
Andy Garcia. I love Andy Garcia.
And, I mean, just the way that you see it happen, and when they go back and show you, like, all the different things, you're like, oh, man. Like,
and, I mean, the music fits it so well. Yeah. Like, it's just the feel of it. Brad Pitt is Rusty. Mm-hmm. Was I
love the fact that he's always eating.
He's always eating.
Love that.
There was a scene.
He inspires me.
Yeah, there was a scene where he's first following Tess or something like that. That he's eating like a shrimp cocktail.
Yeah,
they had to do that take so many times. He actually ate like 40 shrimp. Like Brad Pitt.
And then he was sick with mercury poisoning for the next 3 days.
And then you, like, the first time you meet him, he's doing that poker game for all, like, the young Hollywood stars, young and Hollywood, it's like Topher Grace
and Joshua Jackson.
Yeah.
And then awesome. Clooney shows up and he's like, "Oh, it's your money."
Yeah, but it's because that was my number two. It's
a great movie.
It's an awesome heist flick. It's fun. So good.
Oh, the review is amazing. And the fact I forget the old man's name when he like passes out when he's like the Russian businessman and he passes out in the video room.
Oh yeah,
and Casey Affleck and. The other guy,
Scott Conn.
Come and take him away. Like those two guys do everything in that movie. They're basically every single like character in that movie is Casey Affleck and Scott Conn, because they're the waiters, they're the ambulance guys, they're the security guys, they're the bodyguards, the drivers. They do everything. The balloon. The balloon delivery guy to get in the way, and then they do the altercation with each other.
How much money was in that movie's budget? Just thinking, George on the top three alone: George Clooney, Brad Pitt, and Matt Damon. That's ridiculous.
I don't know. Matt Damon's character is not even a big part. Yeah, no.
He was a throw-in. If you think about it,
I'm trying to remember who it was because I saw when I was looking it up. He wasn't originally supposed to be. That character, he wasn't supposed to be in the movie. I'm trying to remember who it was that there was it was another notable actor that was like, no, I can't do that. And he went to go shoot. Oh, Mark Wahlberg was supposed to be that character.
I do remember that. Yes, I do. Remember
but then
that.
I think I forgot what movie it was. He went to go shoot
Planet of the Apes.
Was it? It might have been Planet of the Apes. No, I don't know.
The shooter. He went to shoot shooter.
No, because that would have been okay. Shooter. Because the shooter's awesome.
But
fucking love that movie. But
when they're sitting around like thinking of like who they need and also now that I just thought about it when I said when they're sitting around when he gives the speech and he's like, "Did I rush it? No, you're good.
That was great, man. He was like, "How many times did you say that?" And he's like, "Oh, I'm a little bit
I felt like I rushed it.
The cool thing is there's that whole scene when he's like, "So what do you think we'll need?" He's like, "We're definitely gonna need a driver, a wheelman. Miss Daisy." No, well, he's like, you're gonna have to. At least you're gonna have a Miss Daisy, a blah blah blah. And he starts naming all these different things. I looked it up, and each one actually has a meaning to it.
Oh, okay.
Like when he's like, "You're gonna need a Miss Daisy." It's you're needing a wheelman for something. When you need this, it's referencing some heist that was done in a movie back in the day. Like
pretty dope, man.
So there's like 20 different things that he rattles off, and each one. Is legitimately a part.
Oh man, the part with the remote. Is it, the batteries.
Yes.
Like, I didn't get the batteries hard on.
But what's funny is if
and he's like,
if he doesn't lose the battery, if the battery works,
he's the little.
They kill the Asian.
Yeah, it's fantastic. Love it. Great pick, man. Great pick.
And the original. I mean.
The original is the Rat Pack.
The original was a bad movie, though.
That
everybody like in Hollywood
and even Don Cheadle
was like, "Yeah, that was not a good." You could literally tell that the original was just an excuse for everybody to get together and
some of the Vegas. People from the original that were still alive were in the boxing during the boxing match. They were in the crowd. Like a few of the actors that were in the original.
Cool. That's cool.
Where they brought them back to be in the crowd for that? Yeah,
that's a cameo.
Yeah.
All right. So, all right. Good pick.
Hey, Sophia.
Hey, Mama. My daughter, kind of sleepwalking, I think.
It's a very good.
Let's take a pause. Okay. So, you were saying?
No. That's so. Yeah. No. Since it's your turn. What was your number?
You were saying you're number one.
Oh. My number one which I'm ashamed that I didn't even realize it until, you know, it was time to pick our number twos, is Creed.
Wow.
Wow, that's true, yeah.
I didn't realize it. I forgot. I effing love Creed. That it's...
I didn't even think about that.
Is it because you just saw that I posted the Rocky speech on the Geekmore page?
And no. It was because of the fact that I said, oh, yeah, Jurassic World made my top 10. And I remember going through my top 10. And so I started going through my top 10 list from the What's Up Bro episode, from the Woo Bro podcast episode. And I started going through my list. And I'm like, holy crap.
Wouldn't that be a sequel? It's still the same character?
No, it's a reboot. Life, it's a character reboot. It's a franchise reboot because they rebooted the whole thing.
No, but he was still Rocky from before.
But it's a reboot.
Just like Jurassic World. I mean,
it's just like Jurassic World. The same thing as Jurassic World.
It's the same park.
Same park, same. They have the same character names.
Just updated.
They have what's his name, Malcolm. They have his book in the shop, in Jurassic World. I mean, if you want to fight me, dude,
I'm not fine with it
because I would love to bring back another one, but I couldn't let this one go.
I'm not trying to be combat. I'm just trying to, because I'm thinking about it, because he's the same Rocky from.
Yes, all but the it's movies. Not a Rocky movie. It's a Creed movie.
So yeah, I think it's.
But are they remaking? They're not remaking Rocky. It's its own movie.
It's rebooting the Rocky franchise.
Yeah. It's like Casino Royale. He's still James Bond. You're just rebooting it with a different character or different actor.
Jeff's point is that the actors played by the same character. The characters played by the same actor.
The thing is,
Casino Royale. It's not a continuation of the last Casino Royale. Rocky Creed. He's still the Rocky from Rocky One, from the first Rocky. He's lived his life through all the movies. So it's still in the same timeline.
Yeah, I think it's a good argument on both ends. I'm not trying to knock your one.
I'm just trying to think it out.
So
you can put back your.
I'm trying, dude. Convince me. Help me out. I love Creed. I've seen this movie. This movie came out last year, and I saw it twice in a movie theater. One of them being in Puerto Rico with Spanish subtitles, which is amazing because I'm still fucking reading the subtitles. I saw it twice in a movie theater, and it's come out. So it's probably been about a year now that it's come out. Right? No, Thanksgiving will be a year.
Yeah,
it came out on Thanksgiving. So Thanksgiving will be a year. So we're at what, 8 months, 7 months now of the movie being out, and I honestly could tell you I've probably seen the movie 8 or 9 times.
Wow,
from like front to start, like. You know, it's one of those.
It's great. It's a great movie.
Fuck, I love that movie, dude. I just love everything about the movie. So
the only knock I have on the movie is I would have liked to have seen like him build himself up a little bit more. Like he had the one fight with the kid in the gym.
Yeah, but he had 15 fights in Mexico.
I guess
he had 15 fights in Mexico. Then he had the one against
the kid in the gym, against
Leo, which was ranked number 8. Which, you know, he wasn't like some.
You could probably make the argument that Michael B. Jordan fights the most boxers in a Rocky movie.
But that
Part 3. Rocky 3, he fought a lot. That montage in the beginning.
Let me see. He fought.
Yeah. He had 10 title defenses, and I'm pretty sure they showed at least 5 of them. But they were like just short clips.
Fight against Leo is just such a quick fight.
It's 2 rounds, but the way that we shot it, I mean, no cuts.
He also has fantastic. A sparring session with the guy who's ranked number like 8 at the time.
No, number 2 or number 2. 4. Because Leo was ranked number 8.
Yeah.
Something like that. Yeah, it's fantastic, dude. I'm telling you, I love that movie. So I if it's not a reboot, let me know now. I'll change it up. But I'm telling you that.
I just wanted to tell you what my
thought. I agree. There's an argument to be made. Either way, both ways, I guess. I saw it as a reboot because you're rebooting the Rocky franchise. But I've also called it the best episode 7 of that year, including, you know, episode 7.
I can see how it could be a reboot because it's going in a different direction. Yeah. It's no longer about Rocky.
I think the concern there is that you're thinking because it's in the same timeline, it's in the same universe as the previous film.
Jurassic World.
Because remember, a remake or a reboot, either one, it's a retelling of the story. One, you change all the characters' names and you change the type of story.
Jurassic World did it. Jurassic World didn't change all the names. In fact, they mention every name from Jurassic Park.
So then I would say that's not a reboot or a remake either, then. It's a continuation of the other movies. I think it's a reboot
because there had been some time passed and that franchise was dead. That franchise had long gone and passed, and then they rebooted the franchise with a new story. Again, good arguments to make either way. I'm really not arguing. I'm trying to just make points, but you're right. All your points are correct. I'm not arguing any of your points. I'm saying, well, yeah, there's something to be said.
I mean, I can say
I love like the listener that's in his car or her car right now going, "You mother, are you serious?
Yeah.
Are you fucking serious?" Yeah. And this is where I say, fuck you.
But,
that's
really hard. But yeah, I didn't think
about that. Yeah, the listener that's in their car, David, that's yelling at the...
yeah, because of the continuity, because they still reference the original source material, and the source material is still relevant.
Star Trek referenced the original source material.
They did.
And they had the same character play the same...
But the way that they went around it...
And they had the same character played by the same actor.
Yeah. How did they go around it? It was a completely different... Dimension. It was an alternate dimension. So the story...
Was it alternate dimension or was it the future?
Yeah. No.
Alternate dimension.
So Kirk was the different Kirk from the last Kirk.
Yeah.
Spock was a different Spock from...
I don't remember it being a different dimension. Yes. I remember because he literally asked him, "Oh, what about Kirk?" And he was like, "He's your best friend." He's like, "He's my best friend? I don't like this guy," and blah, blah, blah. Like, I remember that conversation. So why would it... That conversation shouldn't... I didn't say wouldn't.
Yeah.
Shouldn't take place if it's a different dimension.
But Uhura and Spock never got together. And they started off the movie together.
Yeah.
But, so guys, listeners, if you guys have differing opinions, you're always willing to comment below.
But, let's do the...
So the final mountain.
There's two matches. Ocean's which is 11. Birdcage and Ocean's.
Yeah. What else was the other
one? Birdcage
and Ocean's. Birdcage and Ocean's. Right.
Which is awesome. Those two making it.
Birdcage, I would definitely say, Ocean's 11, I'm sorry. I would definitely say Birdcage, I get it. It's a remake, but nobody saw the original, man.
You just said yourself.
Did you see the original?
You just said yourself you didn't see the original of Ocean's 11.
But I didn't pick it.
But I'm just saying.
I know people who've seen the original Ocean's 11. I didn't pick Ocean's 11 from my mountain. Therefore, it did not make my mountain.
The only multiple pick we got.
But nobody.
I've seen it.
What?
Le Cage des Faux.
Le Cage des Faux.
All right. Birdcage. Again, I love Birdcage.
I saw the movie. I saw the original and I saw the play.
Look, there's a.
Masputo.
I will say there's an argument to be made that Birdcage, you know, aside from maybe The Departed, Birdcage might be, there's an argument to be made, but the best film on this list. Mm-hmm. Like, that movie's fantastic. I love Birdcage so much. It's a perfect film, so I love it. So you're not getting, I'm just saying as a remake, I'm like, okay, whatever.
So what are the multiple picks? I know Ocean and Birdcage.
Wow. Jason.
That's the only ones. And then everybody else had different picks. You and I would have picked Batman Begins, but the Creed... Asterisk the Creed pick with the asterisk on there, which should be the same asterisk as Jurassic World, but whatever.
I agreed with you.
So
no one's arguing this asterisk with
it. There's an actual legitimate argument for it. It's gray
for both ways, for either way. Yeah.
I mean, if anything, if you knock Jurassic World off mine, you know, I would replace it with Casino Royale, but which wouldn't have made it anyway. So.
So right, what so were the other options? You got to
pick. The other options are Batman Begins, Dread. No, I'm sorry. Nope. That's my honorable mentions list. I'm sorry. Invasions of Body Snatchers, okay. Batman Begins, okay. Star Trek, 21 Jump Street, The Fly, Rise of the Planet of the Apes, The Thing, Jurassic World, Man of Steel, Departed, Magnificent Seven, and Creed. Jesus Christ.
It's a lot of movies. Oof.
That's a lot of movies.
I will tell you this.
The horror guy in me, I'm going to vote for The Thing. Because it's such a fucking awesome movie.
Well, and I know we don't, this isn't the end or be all, but I'm asking, what did David have on his list?
He had The Departed.
I would never choose the final pick based on an absent person, but we have two open slots no clear.
He had Casino Royale, Dread, Fistful of Dollars, and Birdcage. Jeez. So he's not helping us out either.
Yeah, he's not helping
except us for out. The Birdcage pick.
That doesn't help us. It's already on there.
Yeah.
God damn it, David! You can't do anything right.
I'm actually kind of cool with saying Rise of the Planet Apes, to be honest, now re-looking at it. I don't know how you guys feel.
I feel, this is my opinion, just going to go with this. Rise of the Planet of the Apes and Star Trek are the two clear reboots. Those are the two clear. This was, there's a very, very prominent, popular, good movie prior to these two being made.
I would argue that you'd be surprised at how many people know about Infernal Affairs.
I mean, yeah,
and Departed, that The Departed was a remake.
But over Star Trek and Planet of the Apes?
Well, no, because Star Trek was a English. Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. Those two movies are the ones. And again, I'm not.
Right.
Star Trek, I didn't even pick. So it's not even like I'm not going for anything. I'm not trying to, you know, secondhand anything.
I mean, I.
But those two movies, Star Trek, are. And again, I'm not saying nobody saw it. I'm arguing nobody saw the Birdcage original. That I'm arguing. But I'm not saying nobody saw the Inferno. Fine. Okay, cool. But I can't mention anybody who hasn't heard of Star Trek or Planet of the Apes, the originals. Like, those are two. Again, my opinion, you guys.
No, I agree with
anything
you.
Anything else you guys want to bring up, you can bring up. I'm not saying.
I'm okay. I'm good. I like Star Trek.
I feel that we should put a horror movie on there just because horror movies. Have such a
lot of remakes and reboots.
Yeah.
And I mean, they're good. There's good reboots and remakes out there. I wouldn't mind Rise of the Planet of the Apes because it was a great movie.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm.
You want me to tell you the honest thing? If we were going to put a horror movie up there, I would put Body Snatchers, ironically, because of the historical impact. And because it's so iconic. Like, I understand, I mean, there's scenes in the thing that are so iconic, but that scene with Donald Sutherland is like every AFI thing I ever see. It's on it.
It's, yeah, I mean,
I'm good with putting a horror movie just because I have no say in it. It would be wrong for me to give an opinion on a horror movie because I don't watch them.
It's cool. I mean, you're the other horror guy. I don't know about Jason. I don't know if you ever saw that one.
Which one?
The Invasion of Body Snatchers or the thing?
No, I haven't. I've seen The Faculty.
Okay, so we put The Faculty.
Invasion of the Body Snatchers with Usher.
Either way, I'm not going to. Like,
and Famke Janssen beheaded.
I'm
so hot.
It's fine. I mean, look, I don't care. I'm not gonna get a perfect mountain anyway. I'm good with Invasion of the Body Snatchers or The Thing. I could go with either of those two if we're gonna do the horror movie.
So what would you say, Ro, between those two?
I'll let you,
because I think
you get to decide.
Damn it, bro.
Because I'm good with either one. So you get to decide.
I have to go Body Snatchers because the historical impact. It's a movie that it's important in the film libraries of history, and the annals of history.
Annals.
Even though I fucking like love anal. Thing, and you know what? I know for a fact the Thing will make a mountain someday. I'm okay with having.
You sound very cocksure of yourself there.
I'm
cocksure.
I'm like sure cocked of this. I'm sure.
I wouldn't be against Rise or Star Trek.
Either of those and two. Rise or Star Trek, I'm also
with Rise of Star Trek is not a movie.
I said Rise or, but Rise of is fine.
That'd be dope too, right? Rise of Star Trek, Trek with
H Star in Trek.
Right. Start writing this.
I think Rise is a better film than Star Trek. I love Star Trek. The new ones, the DJ.
And why not Batman Begins?
Because only one person had it?
Because only one person.
But had you had it as an honorable mention.
I did have it as an honorable mention.
Yeah, well.
But Jason also had Star Trek, and I had it as an honorable mention.
And I did have Dread as an honorable mention, and a bunch of
people. And I had Dread. Departed as an honorable mention.
Yeah, so, I mean, again, honorable
mention. Hey, you want to play that game?
Yeah, we don't want to go into that. It's a slippery slope. But
I say just put Rise.
Rise.
Right, so Ocean's 11, Birdcage, Invasion of the Body Snatchers, and Rise of the Planet of the Apes. That is the definitive mountain. If you guys have different opinions, you're wrong. So,
David.
But honestly, you know what? We never hear feedback. We never hear anybody go, you guys are crazy, you guys are stupid, you guys are wrong, you guys were right. Oh my God, I love this pick. Yeah, we do hear, I love that pick, or I love whatever, but we never hear any arguments, and it's a little weird. Yeah. We have a Twitter, which is MT, @MTGeekmore. We have a Gmail. Which is MT Geekmore.
I don't know about you, but Daniel DeBona messages me how right I am all the time. That's why I love that guy.
Sure he would. I don't doubt that he would.
I don't know about you, but David messages me all the time about how wrong I am.
He does that to all of us. Yeah. All of us.
All right. So that's the definitive mountain, I guess. Ocean's 11, Birdcage, Invasion of the Body Snatchers, and Rise of the Planet of the Apes. At least I got one in there. But like I told you, I was like, I'm not. There's no way, because I knew my picks are.
But the thing is, every pick that we had was legitimate.
Yeah.
Which is why originally I wanted to split up the topic, because just to be able to, you know, narrow down choices. But
it's just so hard to determine
is.
That reboot. It really is. Line.
That yeah. There's such.
Yeah, we still towed the line a little bit there.
Yeah.
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 Nope.
So all right, man. That's our thanks episode. Check out David's band at
Naked Vengeance
at Naked Vengeance on Twitter. Check out. The Cosplay Fame podcast from Raul. Yes. Raul, what's the Twitter?
The Twitter is at Cosplay Fame, CosPlayFame. Make sure to come out. I don't know when this posts, but this Saturday, which will be July 23rd, we're going to be doing a Not at Comic-Con event with Tate's Comics and More, which is in North Miami. We're going to have some free giveaways.
I have yet to go to Tate's.
It's awesome. It's for a South Florida fan, if any of our South Florida listeners is, if you need to find the mecca for nerddom in your area, Tate's is the mecca.
It is the Midtown Comics of South Florida.
Yes, definitely. Yeah. And it's a great venture. Again, we're going to have free giveaways. Jeff is going to be there. David's going to be there. We're going to do a podcast live from there. If you guys want to give us... Jason's going to be there. I'm sorry. If you guys want to give your opinions on our mountains, this is a great time to give us your opinions on the mountains.
You go fuck yourself.
So make sure to check out all of our podcasts from the Geek Bro Network. So it's
go fuck yourself.
geekbro.net. Again, that is geekbro.net. Hit the shopping link, buy a shirt, buy a hat, get her done. Get her done, like buy something.
Oh, wow.
I wasn't throwing out his desk.
Oh, plagiarism is the thing of the week, huh?
don't forget, please, you know how many parents have instilled get her done in their children's lives? fucking dumbest argument ever. Anyway, so make sure you check us out at MT Geek More. Woobro is still up, but we haven't put a podcast up in a while, an episode up in a while. I was going to record an episode this past week with somebody on the cruise ship, and it just timing never worked out. So I apologize again. It's been really hard. But check us out again, geekbro.net. Check out our other podcasts, such as the What's Good podcast, which I'm sure is going to come back soon because they're in a hiatus for summer because they have their kids. And the Zeros on Hero podcast just put out another episode last week about Ghostbusters. So make sure to check that out, geekbro.net. That's how podcasts are done. That's how lists are done.
Let's go, let's ride. Hello, yeah, come on. Good morning. Hello, good morning. Know you've been waiting. Time for it. Cause I seen you watching. So let's go. Let's get it poppin'. Cause I'll be leaning on the bar, looking cleaner than the song. These balls won't give me my pride. 25 on the bank, I'll be stunting on the ace. Any man, cause the bitch won't stop. Got your boyfriend feeling like a groupie. You know, we on that. Stand like this, looking like a movie. You know, we on that. And everybody know who the truth be. You know, we on that. I know, cause I'm blowing on that movie. You know. Hello, good morning, how you doing? Where the movie? Welcome to the future, I'm the captain of the cool kids. The revolution's never been televised. Great booty, better thighs, I ain't wanna tell her bye. First I tell her hi, then I give her one and let her fly. Never tell a lie, tonight you couldn't find a better guy. King shit, fly to anyone you been seen with. Gangsta distinguished, cool as a penguin. Got a team of them, honey, feel free to bring with. She fine, waiting, fly away at my convenience. You sing tip, checking in a 5-star suite. Come on. With some 5-star freaks, getting high all week. Let's catch me in the I was up the night when y'all sleep. In a fast car, super bad broads backseat. That's me, see I'm nothing nice. Fuck a couple nights till the moon say goodbye and the sun greeting us like hello, good morning. Let's go, let's ride. Hello, yeah, come on. Good morning. Hello.
time, baby, you're dreaming. Wake up and turn the lights on.
I'm aiming on the bar, looking cleaner than the sun. These balls won't give me my pride. 25 on the bag, I've been stunting on the eggs. And you're mad cause the bitch won't stop.
Got your boyfriend feeling like a groupie.
You know we on
that. Stay like this, looking like a movie.
You know we on that.
And everybody know who the truth is.
You know we on that.
I'm low cause I'm blowing on that movie.
You know we on that.
Good morning. Let's work. Hello. Let's go. Good morning. Let's work. Hello. Hey, yeah. Hey, turn me up a little bit more. I don't think they can hear me. Check this out. Bad boy, bitch. Let's work. Come on. Let's work. Don't stop. Let's rock. Let's work. Make you feel good too. Don't stop. I see you. Let's work. It's that dirty money. How fly is he? Your baby mama cry for me like Jodeci.
Let's go.
So how you not notice me? Pull up to the club in the coldest V. Yeah. Literally cold. Little did he know how that nigga did he flow.
Right.
How that nigga did he go so hard like a crowbar, still getting dough.
Whoa.
Yeah, I like this.
Come on. Can you feel it?
Can you feel it?
Can you feel it?
Nothing can save you.
Yeah.
It's that dirty money. Got your boyfriend feeling like a groupie.
You know,
Hello. Good morning. Hello.